What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to I Just Had a Terrible Thought, the only show on the internet.
The only show.
Yeah, my name is Kyle.
Hi, I'm Orion.
And I got to come up with something else after we say our names, because I always go, and we're going to do a show now. And then I say, Orion. Yep. And then I start babbling about something that happened to me this week.
You always do.
Usually involving the gas station.
You want to do this piece of shit?
Here we go. All right. So I was at the gas station.
Yeah.
And I bought a Snickers. And I was thinking, this thing looks just like a black dick.
Yeah.
And yes. they're just like a black dick. There's nougat and peanuts. Yep. And yeah. So then I was like, I guess I'm a black gay now. Story over. Mm-hmm.
God.
Oh, wow.
Thank God he didn't do that.
What an epic intro this has been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the part where I say, Orion.
Yes, yes.
So this week, if you're a new listener, which never happens because I don't promote the show and it's not very good, so nobody new ever comes on. But if you're a new listener, you would have missed last week when I said that my car is out of commission and I was going to start walking to work. Well, I've been walking to work. Monday morning, I managed to get a ride into work from my roommate, John, but I walked home, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I walked to work and home from work.
I was going to ask you, yeah.
How's
that going, Kyle?
All combined this week, I walked 35.7 miles.
Oh, my God.
Now, I knew this wasn't going to be fun. You know, I knew this was going to suck, especially the morning part. You know, I get up in the morning. I don't even want to get up, let alone get
it's
up and
so
then
cold.
Walk all the way. And then the destination, like if I was walking to an amusement park or something, that might be different. But walking to work, Jesus, just kill me halfway through.
Yeah.
I'll be throwing myself in front of a bus before the week's over.
And at first, when I was thinking about it, I'm like, oh, it's doable. It's not that far. And then I kind of looked it up on a Google map.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
Oh, fuck me.
And I was thinking, you know, okay, it's going to suck. I'm going to be tired. It's going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to suck. But I can do it. It's not that big a deal. I've walked long distances before, and I've even gotten to the point where I was enjoying it. So stop being a baby. Just walk. So I did for 4 days, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the second day, I felt like a cripple. Like it was way worse than I thought it was going to be. I knew my feet were going to hurt and my legs were going to be tired, but it's like I couldn't walk normal. I couldn't do it. Like I walked like a weird combination of like a bow-legged cowboy and somebody with cerebral palsy. Like I walked like I should have had those metal like crutches that are mounted to your arm like a cyborg.
Yeah.
That's how I was walking by the end of the second day.
Damn.
And when I got home at the end of that second day, I was tired and I was gross because it's cold, but it's not that cold yet.
Yeah.
So it's not cold enough that my out of shape ass wasn't still sweating like a goddamn monster.
Yeah.
So I get home and I'm like, I got to take a shower. I mean, I have to. I'm just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in the bathroom. I start stripping down and my feet hurt and I could tell they were kind of blistered. And I take a look at them and my left foot, like the ball of my foot.
Yeah.
Clearly had gone, not only had blistered up, but had also popped. Like the blister.
Fuck.
The blister had already done its business. The whole ball of my left foot was just that white dead skin that you know used to hold some kind of pus.
Yeah. Oh,
but at this point, I didn't know where obviously the pus must have come out into my sock and into my boot, but I was so sweaty and gross that you can't tell the sweat from the pus. Man. So I don't know, but it was like there used to be a balloon on the ball of my foot, and now there's just that floppy dead skin.
Mm.
And there was a slight blister on my left heel. My right foot on my heel, there was a blister that was like the size of two golf balls, and it was still full of whatever
that is.
I guess it's pus, right? That's in blisters.
I don't know. Like, but you pop it, it's clear. You know, it's like
what is pus? I don't actually know. All I know is pus is this kind of whitish shit that happens when you get blisters or sores. But I don't actually know what it is. Anyway, this thing, it looked like a flesh water balloon on my heel, about the size of like two golf balls. And I don't know what to do when you get, like, should you pop it? Should I heat up a needle and just pop that thing? I don't know.
So, yeah.
Well, I didn't, because I'm not a doctor and I didn't know what I was doing. So then I'm taking my shower. I'm trying not to stand on this blister. And I'm like, okay, tomorrow I got to do it again. So I'm just going to, I basically just went to sleep and tried to take it easy. Next morning, I still felt like a cripple, but I did it anyway. I walked into work. I went throughout the whole day. When I got up from my desk at the end of the day to go walking again, it had somehow gotten worse. It's what I think maybe happens is I'm out there walking and I'm doing this, you know, to my body. And I think, as stupid as this sounds, I think my body's like releasing adrenaline or something because it thinks I'm under attack. And so it actually doesn't feel as bad. It's like when a little old lady pulls a car off a baby. Yeah. You know, they can't normally do that, but they get this adrenaline rush. And even though they're tearing every ligament in their body trying to lift this car, it's still, they don't feel it because they're trying to save that baby.
You're under attack.
My body thought it was trying to save a baby, but in reality, it was just walking to work.
Yeah.
So my legs felt like my feet hurt and my legs were tired, but they didn't feel the pain until I sat down at a desk for 8 hours. So then I get up to walk home and I can barely walk. And this is only the third day.
Oh, fuck.
And I managed it. I walked all the way home. And then, you know, nothing eventful after that. Same thing as the second day. Blisters got worse. Mm-hmm. Took a shower, went to bed. The fourth day, same thing all over again, but it was just that much worse.
Jesus and when Christ.
When I got home, I could feel that blister on my right heel, because it was like on the back bottom of my right heel, but I could feel that it was shifting over time, which I didn't think could happen. But Jesus. I think like the way I was walking, because it was in on the bottom kind of, I think the fact that I kept walking on it sort of pushed it under the skin. Like the
unaffected skin.
And
next to it. Yeah.
So Jesus, it just,
that's disgusting.
So it's migrating up. Oh, this blister was getting bigger and bigger and it was like migrating around. It kind of looked like my foot was trying to asexually reproduce, you know, like when a cell splits, like I'm growing a new foot. But so this blister is like migrating up and like to the left. So it's migrating up my heel and I could feel that. And I didn't think that could possibly be what was really happening. But then I got home on the fourth day and I noticed about halfway home that it didn't feel the same anymore. And I wasn't sure why. It had apparently popped as well.
Oh, fuck.
But when I looked, I could tell like it was in a completely different spot.
What the fuck?
It was like up by my ankle and it popped and it had that weird, my feet.
Jesus.
Looked like they got in a knife fight or something. But anyway, so I get home on that fourth day. I feel worse than I felt all week. It's just been, I thought, you know, I'd get used to it and it would get better as time went on, you know, because I expected it just to be a tired muscle sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it just, it got worse and worse every day. And then on the fifth day, which is today, I called into work because I woke up this morning and I went to go take my shower and I was hobbling just to the door of my room.
Yeah.
Like I really did feel like I needed a wheelchair or something, which makes me feel like the world's biggest pussy. Cause there are fucking marathon runners out there and they'll run like however long marathon runners run. They'll just run and run and run and then puke on the side of the road and then run some more.
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Ooh, let's do this.
And I can't handle walking to work on a mildly like chilly day.
To be fair, you're not wearing like the appropriate footwear.
Yeah,
you're wearing
that's another thing.
Motorcycle boots.
I think part of my problem is the footwear.
Yeah,
these boots were not made for walking.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It was that Nancy Sinatra that did that song. These boots are made for walking. I don't know what kind of boots she was wearing, but these are definitely. I can't think of a pair of boots that would be made for walking, but these are definitely not them. I think that's part of my problem. The only other pair of shoes I own are a pair of Converse All-Stars, you know, Chuck Taylors, which might maybe be better than the motorcycle boots, but I can't imagine. I mean, it's like walking on cardboard. It's like cutting cardboard out the size and shape of your foot and gluing it to the bottom of your foot in terms of support. So I imagine I'd be in the same boat even wearing them.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to.
your only option, is to buy those gay ass like New Balance.
Yeah, exactly.
That dads wear.
I gotta invest. invest some of this money I don't have into some like orthopedic shoes or something, or some Dr. Scholl's inserts. I was halfway home on the fourth day. I was fantasizing about Dr. Scholl's inserts.
Yeah.
Like that's how you know it's bad, that I'm fantasizing about something that I never would think about ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I'm at. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do. I'm hoping that like my feet will get all calloused and that like taking these 3 days off, you know, I took a day off and then I've got the weekend and my body will have time to recover, because I've heard, you know, I know only vague shit about like working out and stuff. And people will tell you, I swear I've heard people say, you know, don't work out like hours a day, every day. Like start out slow, work out like an hour, then skip a day, then work out another hour. You know, you got to give your body time to recover. So
otherwise you're doing more damage. Yeah.
For a lazy man like myself to suddenly go to walking like 10 miles a day or whatever it is I was doing is pretty intense. And I've given myself no recovery period. So I'm hoping that like giving myself this 3 days will be enough for my body to be like, okay, we're making the adjustments. And then on Monday I will have bodybuilder legs and and feet made of concrete and I'll be okay.
Oh man, I don't think you can just let your feet, like let nature take its course, you know, let this heal up and do its thing. My body will figure it out.
Well, I think that's kind of how it works, right? I mean, obviously your body isn't thinking, ah, shit, something's changed. We got to make some repairs.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of how it works, right? Like you stress your muscles out and like they have to repair. I think that's how like muscle building works kind of.
Yeah,
it's sort of like, it's almost like you're tear and repair. So you get more muscle mass.
That'll work with your legs, but with your feet, they're pretty fucking
Well, that's what calluses are, right? Like, it's when you just abuse, like, I don't really have them anymore, but when I used to play guitar all the time, I had these crazy calluses on my fingers, and there had been times where I'd, like, cut my fingers on guitar strings, and so
then it hurts to play, right?
Yeah,
but
then,
like, fuck it, I'm a rock star.
Yeah, but then eventually you get used to it, and you get these calluses, so I'm thinking, you know, if I give my feet a break and stop tearing them open for a little bit, maybe they'll start to callus up. I don't know. I'm sure that's not the most attractive thing to the opposite sex, but I'm not exactly trying to date right now. So
I wouldn't give a fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I'm like, you know, I don't know, these girls aren't going to go home with me if they see these calloused feet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I had an idea, but I really don't think this will work. Every day you get home, when you shower, before you shower, you soak your feet in some Epsom salt. I think you would be screaming.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're kind of open, you know?
Yeah.
They're not open sore. It's not really like they're cut, you know, because a blister, I don't know how a blister works exactly. I don't know where all that fluid is coming from. I already said I don't know what pus is, but it seems to be a real surface kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have kind of a dead layer of skin on the top, and it's kind of like whatever it is kind of bubbles up underneath that. So I don't, maybe it wouldn't be, because it's not actually an open wound, maybe it wouldn't actually hurt. But I did that fourth day when I came home and took that shower. I ended up sitting down in the shower and like putting the drain stopper on and letting the water fill up and just soaking my feet. But I think maybe, I'm not sure, I think maybe you're supposed to, if you're gonna soak your feet, maybe you're supposed to soak them in cold water, because that's what you use like to bring down swelling, right?
Yeah.
Like people grab a bag of frozen peas and put it on their face when they get punched out.
Yep.
So then when I got out, when I was done with the shower, I filled the tub with cold water and sat there for a while and felt like a real idiot. And so I just drained it and went back to my room, went to bed.
I'm trying to think of this, like the blister, it's kind of like caused by friction. So in a way, taking away that, you know, outer layer of skin and revealing the lower layer, it's like a burn. So maybe cold water would be best.
I don't know.
Fuck, that sounds painful. God damn.
Well, you know, I don't want this to be like a woe is me kind of thing. Like, oh, Jesus, pity me. But I do find it's what's happened to me this week.
Yeah.
And I even kind of, when I'm not in the middle of the walk, you know, when I'm just talking about it, I find it kind of amusing in a weird way. Like, just imagine, like, what a weird thing it is that I'm doing this. Like, it seems it's not a thing people would do. Like most people, if their car broke down and the distance to work is like it is for me, and it's really not normal walking distance. You know, I thought it took about an hour and a half. Turns out it actually takes about 2 hours, which might be because I was getting more and more injured. And so I was slowing down. But it takes about 2 hours. The first day I did it, I was like a half hour late. But so a 2 hour walk, I think that's outside of most people's like, oh, I'll just walk to work.
Yeah.
But so most people, if they were driving a car to work every day and it broke down and they couldn't afford to fix it, I don't think it would ever even occur to them to walk in like I've been doing.
No way.
I think most of them probably have some kind of support structure where they could either, they got a buddy at work that they can have drive them in, or they have a friend or a family member mm-hmm. who for some reason has nothing else going on and can pick their ass up at 6 a.m. and drive them into work. But, and I, to be fair, I haven't really asked anybody to do that. I bet, I'm sure I could guilt trip somebody into doing it.
But, like carpooling you,
yeah,
picking you up. Yeah.
But I don't know anybody at work really, and I definitely don't know anybody at work that lives nearby. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It seems like the in a weird way, it's the most responsible thing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, just take it on myself to fucking walk to work. I mean, my only other option is to beg other people for rides or just stop going in. You know, that's not an option.
It's no option. And people are pussies. I mean, shit. Like when, you know, when the big ice storm is coming and all these fuckers go into the grocery store and stock up like it's the end of the world.
Right.
Motherfucker, if like anything happened, the store isn't that far. Like you live like 4 miles from the, you know, you're not going to die.
Right. Yeah.
Jesus. So, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's all doable. People are just pussies. Yeah.
One thing I thought was kind of funny is the first day when I was like half an hour late, mm-hmm. I don't know if he has some kind of superhuman sense or if he was just, he just happened to be coming out. But when I was approaching the building, one of my bosses who isn't my direct boss, he's kind of like everybody's boss.
Yeah.
He's like the guy. There's only one guy above him that I know of. And he's a super old guy that started the whole company and really doesn't run it anymore.
Yeah.
So the guy right below him, he comes out of the building as I'm approaching it. And he's like, and he starts talking to me, asking me if I walked into work, asking me where I live and stuff. Man. And I'm telling him, you know, and I'm telling him when I left my house, I said, you know, I'm probably kind of, I didn't have a clock or a watch or anything on me. So I'm like, I'm probably a little bit late, but I can readjust for that tomorrow. You know, I didn't know how long it was going to take me.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's like 8:30. You're like half an hour late, but he wasn't mad at me or anything. But it was weird because he's like trying to kind of talk this through with me and sort of help me figure it out. He didn't offer any, you know, concrete suggestions or anything.
Poor guy. Cause what is he going to do? Just ignore you?
Right.
He's got to engage in some kind of helpful.
I didn't think that was so weird, except for the fact that he sort of intercepted me like that. Like that's just, it's kind of strange.
Cause
then I think he turned around and went back into the building right after that too. So okay. I don't think it's like he was leaving. I think he saw me through a window or something and then came out to talk, which is strange because we never talk.
Yeah.
But then a few days later, he comes by my desk and he asks me what the situation is like. And I'm like, it's pretty much the same. I've been walking in, but I've been coming in on time. You know, I adjusted for it. And he's like, is there anybody, you know, who can... You know, who lives nearby or anything?
There's got to be somebody.
And I'm like, I don't know. Not that I know of. And he's like, well, let me talk to people or something.
Oh, no.
And I haven't heard from him since. So I don't know if he found anybody or whatever. But one thing I thought was kind of funny about that, and I am not trying to insult him by saying this.
Yeah.
But one thing I thought was kind of funny about that is that he's like, there's got to be something we can do. Well, technically speaking... If like you're really so concerned, you could offer me a ride.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus. I mean, like I said, he was trying to help. So I'm not trying to insult him or anything. It's just funny to me that he's, you know, really going to, I'm going to try to work this out with you, you know. And I mentioned my garnishment because I assume, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't just get spread around. Like human resources knows, but I assume they don't go around the building going, did you hear about Kyle's finances?
Yeah.
So I mentioned that to him because I was trying to explain how it is that I'm getting paid when I'm getting paid there and I can't afford to get my brakes fixed. And he was like, huh, well, you know, is there any way you can like contact them and be like, you know, I won't be able to pay you anything if I don't have a job. You know, kind of.
There's no way.
But first of all, I wouldn't know how to contact them. Secondly, even if I could contact them, it's already like, this legal process that has gone through, this is a court ordered garnishment. It's not like I agreed to send them this money and I can go haggle with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's already in play. Like there would have to be some kind of legal action taken to pause it or whatever. And what would be in it for them? I mean, yes, I could say, if you keep taking this money, I'm going to lose my job. I can't go into work and stuff. So you won't get anything. Well,
they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they don't. They don't give
a shit. Gave a shit about anything. Like
they'll
that.
Get it out of me one way or another. Yeah. I don't know exactly how it works legally, but I bet if I got fired mm-hmm. because I couldn't make it into work. And they'd have to stop garnishing me, obviously. But I'm not going to be fired forever. Yeah. You know, eventually I'm going to have another job. And it's like, oh, I see you're making money again. Yep. Garnished. You know, they don't give a fuck. They'll yep. get it eventually. So.
And companies like that always cover their losses. Fuck, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you were permanently unemployed, wouldn't really hurt them a whole lot.
Yeah.
Funny boss of yours.
Another thing I noticed while I was walking this week. Is something I didn't anticipate, and I'm not sure it's actually related, but the first 2 days, I would come home, and I would have to poop like crazy.
Man.
Walking makes me have to poop, I think.
Okay.
Because
okay.
normally, like, I eat garbage, and I probably have some digestive problems, yeah. and I don't poop as regularly as I should. Yeah. But so like 2 days having to really go in a row, like I'm not saying I don't go every day. Well, actually, I probably do skip a day here and there.
Yeah.
But like I usually don't really have to go like that. You know, it's like, I'm in the bathroom. I can kind of feel
might
it.
As well.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot and then it works. But yeah, I really like I got to get to a fucking toilet when I get home.
I wonder what that is.
And I was thinking maybe I was trying to like come up with theories as to why that yeah, would happen.
I would too, yeah.
And I kind of thought maybe because I was sweating so much, I was kind of becoming dehydrated
mm-hmm.
and it was like sort of drying out the poop.
Yeah.
And like, so now I've got these little like poop shapes, like little poop chunks, poop yeah. rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how if you had like a glass of rocks
yeah.
and you sort of started shaking it and jostling it, it might kind of lower the level of it because
yeah.
they kind of, you know, fit in, you know, the shapes kind of,
oh, yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yep.
So walking and like jostling around these dried poop chunks is, it's sort of like playing Tetris in my intestines. And so by the, it's
crazy.
A shit Tetris. And by the time I get home, I've cleared a few lines.
Yep.
And that shit's got to go.
That's great.
So that's my thoughts. Good. That's my yeah. theory on how that works.
Oh, man.
I
just picture we have one listener that's either a doctor, which isn't very likely, or just
yeah.
a little more medically inclined, I don't know,
right.
listening, like shaking his head, like,
yeah.
God,
just a face
you guys
palming.
Are so far off. This is embarrassing.
Or he's like, that is the best explanation of that I have ever heard.
Never thought
I've been
of that.
Trying to find a way to explain this to people.
Yeah.
Ugh.
God damn.
The only other thing I have to say about the walking deal is there was one day, I think it was the second day, I'm sitting at my desk and this lady that I work with, she works upstairs in like the customer service department. She works in the area where people have to wear nice clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She comes over to talk to me about something and she says, oh, by the way, I've heard you were walking, or I think she saw me walking. She's like, have you been walking to work? Do you need
oh,
a ride?
Oh, man.
And it was real nice of her to offer. She was going to offer me a ride home just that day, not a regular thing. And she even said, like, I won't be able to do it tomorrow, but I could give you a ride home today.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice of her. The problem is, and this is one of the reasons I always hope nobody from work listens to this show, I don't like her.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a real concrete reason. I just don't like her. And so I turned the ride down and I felt like a real dummy, you know, because I could have taken this ride. It would have done me a favor. She was trying to be nice, but I felt like it would have been an asshole move in a weird way for me to accept this ride and like just sit in her passenger seat hating her the whole way home.
Yeah.
You know, I yeah. don't like her. And so it would have felt like a parasitic usury sort of thing to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I did a noble thing or, you know, if that was a show of integrity or just a show of plain foolishness yeah. on my part.
I don't think. I think you really need to, if you're going to do this shit, you got to get used to it. One. But what was your explanation? Like, I'm not going to take the ride because I picture her going, well, what's wrong with me?
No, that was actually the explanation I gave. I said, well, you know, I'm probably going to have to be doing this a lot more. So I should probably just get used to it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the offer, but I think I'll just walk.
Okay.
So that was how I explained it. I wasn't like, well,
I mean, walking. I'd rather walk.
I'd rather not walk, but you? Really?
But look, come on.
What are we
going to
do? We going to hang out now? Yeah. Ooh.
She'll add you on Facebook after she drops you.
You gross old lady. No. Yeah. No. I tried to be, because like I said, I don't have a real I mean, there are little things she does that annoy me. She's sort of weirdly, it's a false niceness that drives me crazy. Mm. Yeah, like you can tell, like she's not actually a nice person.
Yeah.
But she's like, weak,
playing a role. Yeah.
I think sometimes people are really weak and that makes them seem nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the fact that they're not loud and they're not openly opinionated and they use nice words makes them seem like nice people, but the truth is they're just weak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily nice, but whatever.
And even though it's like a, what is it, like a 6 mile walk one way?
5 miles? It's about like a 5 mile walk.
5 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 mile drive seems like nothing, but when it's with someone you don't like.
Yeah.
Fuck. It. You know how awkward it is riding in a vehicle and with someone you don't really know and you're not saying a fucking word?
Yeah.
You both know you are aware of the silence and it's like, you feel like an asshole.
And I'd already walked to work that day, that morning.
Yeah.
And just sweated all over myself.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know like how bad I smell.
Yeah.
So it's probably not so bad at work in the open air, but like in your car, in your passenger seat right next to you. Oof.
Shit. I only had one question.
Okay.
one big reason people don't really like to walk, aside from being, you know, fuck that, I'm too lazy, you know, is this area isn't really made for that. It's not like downtown, you know?
I have to cross a few big roads.
Fuck,
there are crosswalks for.
Okay.
But I still feel like I'm doing something wrong. I feel like I'm walking across the highway.
Yeah. Because when I was looking at the map, I'm like, these are some big fucking intersections you're crossing, you know, these roads. Like, fuck, it's not only annoying, you know, because you got to wait and you got to cross this big, long thing, hoping not to get hit because traffic is moving.
Right.
You
know? And in the morning when I'm walking, it's dark.
Yeah.
I leave the apartment at like 5:30 in the morning and I'm out there walking in the dark and I'm wearing my black leather jacket and my black t-shirt and my black motorcycle boots and some dark jeans. And I don't own anything vibrant and I'm not going to go buy something vibrant for these walks. I'm not going to buy one of those faggot vests, you know, that people wear just to go walking so they don't get hit by cars.
The blinking light.
I would rather risk getting hit by a car than wear like a beacon on me.
That would be pretty great.
And one thing I've noticed is that a lot of those crosswalks, the lights are just broken.
I
think that is a testament to the fact that nobody around here walks anywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of there are a few places I have to walk where there is just no sidewalk, which, you know, whatever, fine. Yeah. You can walk like on the grass or in the little spot, like right by the edge of the road and you'll probably be fine. But it's again, it's an indication that this is not a place that you're meant to be walking.
Not at all. Yeah.
Nobody expects anybody to walk here. And I do.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, that's all I got to say about walking. It sucks.
Yeah.
So that millionaire listener that's out there listening, I know you've been listening, you cheap bastard.
He's like, oh no.
Buy me a car.
Yeah.
I'll take a Ford Escort. I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of buy me a car, it was my birthday month last month. Orion's birthday month is now.
Mm-hmm.
Orion, you just had a birthday.
Yeah, it came and went. It was
Do you
yesterday.
Feel older? Do you feel like more of a... You got this kid now. You're a year older. Do you feel like more of a man, more of a dad? You buying sweaters?
I don't feel any different. It like blew by. It was almost like, wait, what's today? Oh, shit. It's my birthday? Like, I knew it was coming, but it was there and gone so fast. Now I see the end.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, hey, it's your birthday. I don't give a shit.
You starting to feel your mortality?
A little bit, yeah.
So did you do anything for your birthday? Did you go out?
I did
or
nothing.
Nothing at all, huh?
Nothing. I took 4 days off or 2 extra days this week just to fucking take a mental break. I needed a break. This lack of sleep. Oh, like I talk to people. They're like, well, how many hours did you get? And I'm like, I got about like 6, but it was interrupted.
Mm.
And
maybe
people don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't understand, man. Like, I'll go to bed at 3 and at 6 a.m., he's up and we got to take care of that. And then you're kind of up, you know, but yeah. Then you go back to sleep and I could sleep the whole fucking day and wake up, but I'd still feel like shit because it was interrupted, if that makes sense. And when you do that every day, every day, every day, I would drive to work and feel like I was intoxicated. I was so like out of it. Like I was mentally checked out.
This is why it should be legal for babies to drink. You give them a little, like a half a shot of vodka.
A little bit of rum.
Out like a goddamn light. Glug, glug. Oh, they're not going to remember this time of their life anyway, so it doesn't matter that they black out. You know, it's not like, oh, that's so weird. I mean, I was laying there wiggling, and then I don't remember much after that. You know, it's not going to matter. He's not going to remember this stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So give them a little half a shot of vodka. They sleep for the night. They wake up with a little baby hangover, but they won't remember that either. So, you know,
they're thrown up anyway. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're already going to puke.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But yeah, take these days off. And one of them was Halloween. And
oh, yeah. How'd that go? How'd the candy passing out and all that?
That was, well, my mom wanted to come out, which was fine. But anytime somebody comes out.
A little strange, actually.
Well, she wanted
to come, Halloween?
She wanted to come out because she's like laid off for, I don't know, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Like we can't let you, you know, you can't work for 2 weeks. And then you're back on, you know, just to save some money for the company.
Sure.
But she wanted to come out and I'm like, well, fuck, what's a day you can make it? And it just happened to be Halloween.
Okay.
It wasn't like, I want to come out for Halloween.
I was thinking she was like, you know, Halloween. I got to be there for your son's first Halloween something.
No.
Okay. So it's just coincidence.
Yeah. And anytime someone comes over, I don't know what it is, but afterwards, I'm kind of mentally drained because I'm constantly for hours. People come over for hours. They're not like in and out, you know?
Yeah.
They're there for like half a day. And at the end of it, I'm just fucking wiped because the whole time I'm worried about whether they're having a good time.
Yeah.
The whole fucking time. And I can't let any awkward silences come in and there's nothing to do. So I turn the TV on. Oh shit, we're watching TV. You can do this at home. What do I do? Let's talk about this. It's fucking exhausting.
Yeah. Everybody loves Orion and for good reason. He is a people pleaser. He wants everybody to have a good time. You go out to the bar with Orion and he gets uncomfortable if there's somebody being left out of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great traits to have, but yeah,
it's a fucking flaw, man.
I don't care as much about that stuff as you. And I think I would not be nearly as exhausted by the end of the night. Cause you are essentially working all night, trying to keep everybody just having a good time, trying to keep them involved, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm a little surprised that extends to your mom, but I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. It could be anybody. I don't know. But so my mom came out Monday, then my sister wanted to come out Tuesday.
Ooh.
And I told her I couldn't. And I tried to be nice, you know, and she's not mad or anything, but it's hard to say, I just want to relax, man.
Yeah.
But I never see you. I just want to relax. You don't understand. And then Wednesday, my dad was coming out. And then Thursday, my birthday, yesterday, my brother wanted to come out
wow
to go to a show like for my birthday, and I had to tell him like, dude, I took these days off, I'm so fucking sorry, but I can't. So only two of the four days were kind of mentally draining, so it didn't really feel like I had a break. So I'm still like fucking drained, but anyway, the Halloween thing went it was successful, but a little weird.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to act. Like, the sun's still out and you get the knock at the door.
Yeah.
This is normal. But I don't remember ever when I was a kid heading out and the sun was still out.
I don't either.
Go get candy.
I don't know if it's just that my memory has been altered, you know, over time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was dark by the time I went home, and so that's all I remember.
Yeah.
But I swear we went out after dark when we went out trick-or-treating. And it seems to me like it's a new thing, like an overprotective parent thing.
Yeah.
That, okay, we got to start when the sun's still up. Yep. We start at 5 p.m. Yep. now, you know?
Yeah. So that's...
That is weird. I think the very last time I went trick-or-treating, I think I was already too old, but I was determined to do it anyway because I just liked it.
Yeah.
And I think that very last time I had asked somebody when trick-or-treating starts. And so I went out when trick-or-treating started and it was light out. And I felt, it felt wrong.
Yeah,
it felt creepy, or it felt, you know what it felt like? It felt like I was like at a Christian summer camp or something.
It feels Christian.
Yeah, it does.
Like, hurry before the sun goes down.
Oh, it's Satan's time when the sun goes down.
Yeah,
we don't leave the house after dark because we don't want to be tempted to be gay.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what'll happen. Exactly. You'll go out and you'll become a gay black witch.
Yep. But I was prepared because I looked all this shit up and I had candy, which cost me a lot of money. $40.
Yeah, you mentioned that last
week. But so I'm ready. And yeah, they show up, but they're real little. And my stupid ass, wanting to be the cool house, bought a bunch of Warhead sour candies. Like, these are fucking, like, I tried them. I don't know if I told you.
Yeah, you mentioned this last week. Yeah.
And they're fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Like, I have tears in my eyes as a reaction. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh, whoa. This is it sour? Yeah, it's very sour. Oh, you know. And here are these fucking 3-year-olds showing up in Bumblebee costumes. I'm giving them Pop Rocks and handfuls of Warheads, these sour candies.
Yeah.
And I had to tell them, like, because I felt so bad. I'm like, these are really sour. You might want to ask your mom or dad before you have them if you can. Man. I felt like such a douche, but they're like 3 years old. They're like, duh.
Yeah, I would have just let him fucking have. I wouldn't have put a disclaimer on it.
I felt bad. But
hey, parents out there standing on the sidewalk. Yeah. Hey, I just want to let you know that these things might kill your children. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, if they're real sensitive, do they have a sour allergy? Yeah. I just don't want to cause any problems. Yeah, I would have just let them have the fucking candy. Yeah. I mean, by the time they get home, they won't remember what house they got it from anyway. So it's not like you're going to get a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. Orion's the nicest guy. He wants everybody to be happy. He doesn't want those 3-year-olds in the Bumblebee costumes to go home and eat his sour candy and be like, that man is evil. Yeah.
And cry and cry. What did that man give you? Dear God, they're Warheads.
So did you do the thing, where you let them reach in and you tell them how many to take? Or did you do the thing where you grab the candy and put it in their bag?
I put it in their bag and I put generous amounts.
Nice.
Like, each kid that was older than like 3, you know, like 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
We're like, what? This poor douchebag. Like, all of them were doing this, but this white kid that was like a cowboy, you know, his parents are like religious. I just picked up on it because he goes, oh, gee whiz.
Oh,
thanks.
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, gee whiz.
Oh, boy. Like, gee whiz.
Thanks. I don't even think when I was a little kid, I ever said gee whiz with any amount of seriousness.
They're getting that from their parents.
I think I was more likely, even as a little kid, to say gee whiz out of sarcasm than I was to say, oh, gee whiz, a Nintendo.
This poor fuck. Oh, man.
So that's cool, though.
But it went well, yeah. The awkward part, because I wasn't used to it, and I was a little nervous, these kids would show up and be like, trick or treat, and I'd open the door and go, trick or treat, and I'm like, wait, that's not my line. I'm supposed to be like, happy Halloween, ooh, you look scary, you know?
Were you dressed up when you handed the candy
out? Yeah.
Nice. I saw your costume on Facebook. Were you like a mad scientist?
Mad scientist, yeah.
I was worried that you were something more specific and that I was missing the reference and that I was going to feel bad. But no, mad scientist, that's what I would have guessed. Aldi was something creepy as fuck. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it's not anything specific.
She had like a cloak on and then this creepy baby doll face.
Yeah. Which in the photos doesn't do it justice, man.
I don't know.
You get a flash going and you can see through the eye screen, you know, which is like jet black when you don't have any lights around.
Well, maybe I didn't look hard enough because I didn't notice that. But what was it? Was that plastic? What was that? It looks like a porcelain baby doll thing, and it looks antique. It looks old as fuck, and it's got like cracks and it's dirty, and it's creepy as hell.
It's pretty creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. The shitty part about dressing up as something general and going to a Halloween party, which I did the Saturday before. I went to the bar we'd frequent. They throw this Halloween thing now, I guess, every year. It's the second time they've done it. So I'm like, hey, I'll go. Fuck it. People get intoxicated and they're trying to guess what you are.
Yeah.
Especially when you go outside to the smoking circle.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh, wait a minute. Whoa. I know what you're supposed to be. Oh, that's good. oh shit, you're Doc from Back to the Future, right?
Wow, that's a dumb guess.
And I have to say, no, dumb fuck. Doc had white hair.
Yeah, did you have
don't like, even look anything like him.
Did you have black hair? You had a black wig on?
Black hair. Yeah. And I get it, but they'd say the dumbest shit.
And he
shit. Didn't.
I mean, he wore a lab coat, but like I saw your costume. You had, yeah. I'm not looking at it right now, so I might be misremembering it, but did you have like black gloves on?
Yeah, the rubber gloves.
And you had the lab coat, but it wasn't like a standard doctor's lab coat, and it was like done up, right?
Yep,
it
done up. Buttoned.
Yeah, so it didn't look anything like Doc Brown. I think you had goggles, like some kind of, so it didn't look anything like Doc Brown.
Those fucking drunk assholes, yeah. God, what else? What was another one?
Do you know what Dr. Horrible is?
No.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog was this like web-based mini-series with Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, God.
Where he was like an aspiring Doogie Howser. He was an aspiring supervillain, and he was Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
And he would dress sort of kind of like you were dressed, but he didn't have the crazy black hair. He just had his regular hair.
Yeah.
So I would have kind of understood if some nerd asked you if you were Dr. Horrible.
Yeah.
More than Doc Brown, but...
Jeez. Yeah, I didn't get Dr. Horrible. I did get... hey, you're that crazy mad scientist guy in Robot Chicken, right? Again, that guy, that guy, I guess, the character had white hair. These fuckers. I got a bunch of shit. I can't really remember. But then Aldi came along and they're like, ooh, I know what you are. And their guesses were like, they couldn't, and I'm trying to tell them like, no, we just bought, she got a mask, thought it was creepy. And they're like, yeah, whatever, but you look like, hold on, shit.
Do you remember
my drunk
that,
ass is going to try and figure this out.
Do you remember that creepy spider baby from Toy Story? There's like the scene where they end up in the bad kid's room and he's got all those mutilated mutant toys that he put together. And there's one that's like a spider made out of like an erector set or something with the head of a baby doll.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the face of her costume looked like.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But,
it would have been cool if she had spider legs under there.
Somebody guessed that. That would have been great. Like, oh,
what were they guessing though?
Fuck, shit I've never heard of. Like, I don't know if they were TV series, shit. But they were throwing shit out, and I'm like, no, it's random, man.
You're one of those guys at the orgy from Eyes Wide Shut, right?
Yeah. And they were partially, like, trying to make friends, you know, like, buddying up because they're drunk. Hey, you're drunk, I'm drunk. Hey, we're best friends. We're all one. Let's talk about the universe.
I've noticed that when that happens, it never actually translates into best friends in real life.
Yeah.
I remember one time I got completely wasted at some local bar thing.
Yeah.
And I met some guy that I'd never met before. And we were talking about music. And I was talking about how I play guitar. And he was talking about how he played drums. And we were both like, yeah, we should totally hook up and jam sometime, man. And we exchanged phone. Oh, no, I gave him my phone number. Yeah. And I never heard from him again. I don't even remember his name at this point because I literally never heard from him again. I never saw him at another gathering or anything.
God damn.
Never works out.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely different on Halloween handing out candy.
I think it's cool that you went with the handing it out approach instead of letting them reach in. Because I think the last time I gave out candy, or at least the last time I remember, was when I still lived with my mom and she had set it all up, but I was the one actually doing it.
Going to the door.
Yeah. And she had said, you know, hold it out and tell them take one, you know, which is fine. You know, you're still giving them candy.
Yeah.
But it feels a little, it feels a little weird. Like not giving it, like it feels like you're making rules, you know, like we got rules around here. Yep, you take one. And I think it's kind of like when you and I go to restaurants and we tip like morons.
Yeah.
Because it feels nice because I know so many people are just dicks.
Oh, yeah.
And they stiff people on their tips or they give intentionally small tips to try to make a point because, like, I don't know, the server gave me a Diet Coke instead of a regular Coke.
Yeah.
And it ruined my entire fucking week
because
I'm a horrible human being. Yep. People make mistakes. It's no big deal. So like you and I don't anymore because I don't go to restaurants anymore. Yep. But when I did, I would tip like a fucking moron. I would leave like a $10 tip on a $10 order sometimes just because it made me feel good. And so I could see like I'm going to give you a fucking handful of candy. Yep. I'm not even going to count it. I'm just going to reach in there and just throw that in your bag and feel nice.
Mm-hmm. But then I was telling other people and they're like, well, if you're going to do that next year, kids remember, dude. They remember that you gave them all this fucking candy.
So
you have to do it next year. You know,
I wonder if that's
if you don't hand out I don't know. Yeah, it depends on the kid.
I guess that's kind of true, because you knew the house that gave out the king-size candy bars.
I memorized it.
When, I think I had a slightly atypical Halloween experience as a kid, because when I was really young, the years I remember that I loved were the years when my parents would take me to this like townhouse complex near where my grandparents lived. And so I was only there once a year.
Yeah.
So I didn't remember any, and they all looked exactly the same. It was like an apartment complex, you know? So I didn't remember which one of these doors gave the best candy last year. But if I'd been wandering around my own neighborhood, maybe I would remember, last year this house gave out the good shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And it didn't, it kind of helped that the guy who answered the door every year had like a mullet with a long hair.
Yeah.
And he always answered in like a gold zebra pattern Speedo and nothing else.
Whoa.
And
really?
Yeah.
How did you leave this part of the story out?
I just remember.
This story just got a lot more interesting. Do you think that was his costume, or was like,
I don't know, man.
Was he like,
I don't think so.
He was some kind of weird pervert, like sexual predator in a really naive neighborhood.
I don't think so. It was like, it was the 80s.
Are you
like,
sure this in a Speedo and nothing else?
Yeah.
Every year he answers the door in a Speedo with a, oh, that's right. You kids didn't have your parents go out with you.
No.
It was just you kids.
Yeah.
That's how he got away with it. Not that he was doing anything illegal, but if the parents were like behind you on the sidewalk or whatever, you weren't going to that house again next year.
Yeah, no way.
But that does make me think he's some kind of deviant, because
He just seemed like a real rocking dude, you know? Hey, what's up, you guys? Oh, cool costume. Here you go. All right, have a good night. And he was always in a hurry.
The classic pedophile thing. And I don't even think they do it anymore because it's cliche. They've probably moved on to something else. But the classic pedophile thing is to try to lure kids with candy.
Yeah.
So this guy is answering the door essentially naked, knowing that there are children on the other side of it. And he's offering them the best candy in town.
Yeah.
And you didn't think anything of it.
I didn't.
Even to this day.
No way, man.
We should find that guy.
He's still there.
He's probably on the sex offender registry.
Oh, man.
We should go and visit.
Did he have a mustache?
No.
He should have.
Oh, God. No. He didn't even need it. It was that, like, it was that bad, man.
He had a mustache the rest of the year. That was his costume. He shaved the mustache for Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't want to scare the kids.
He thought he was wearing a regular guy costume.
God damn. That was good.
Okay.
But yeah. Good times.
I think it may seem a little early. It feels a little early to me, but I'm looking at the time we've used up so far, and I think I'm ready to take a little break.
Sounds good.
If that's cool with you.
Oh,
I probably got to pee, too. I'm drinking water, and it's all going to my bladder.
It's cool with me, baby.
All right, break.
Hey, you looking for something to do with your boring, loathsome existence? Don't be an asshole. Join the goddamn forum. Go to IJustHadATerribleThought.com/forum or click the link on the main page. Post your photos, post your stories. You got something you want us to talk about on the show? Post it in the motherfucking forum. Tired of spending your Friday nights alone? Get in the forum and make some new friends. IJustHadATerribleThought.com/forum. Don't make me tell you again.
And we're back! Yay! Orion?
Yeah.
That's another area where I need to work on transitions. There's got to be something I can say between we're back or welcome back to the show and Orion. Like, I feel like there's got to be a more natural way to get into that. But I guess pointing it out makes it even less natural.
All right. Well, if you just pointed at me and said, Orion, check this out,
it'd
be more sexy.
I have never gone to broadcasting school, and I think that's fairly obvious. Anyway, Orion, I saw this movie. Have you heard of this movie, Christ. In Time?
Yeah, with JT, Justin Timberlake.
I saw it.
Dirty Pop.
I was pretty excited about this movie when I saw the trailer.
Fuck yes.
It was one of those trailers that seems to kind of show you everything.
Yeah.
Which is how I actually found out about it. I think somebody like posted on Reddit or something like, speaking of movie trailers that show you the whole movie.
Yeah.
But when I saw the concept, I was pretty excited.
The concept, it's unique. It's not a fucking remake like they keep doing. Fright Night and Footloose, let's bring him back. No, fuck off. We need a new, unique thing, and this looked like it.
And for anybody who doesn't know, the basic concept is that it takes place in a world where instead of money, they use time.
Ooh.
And
interesting.
That alone doesn't make a lot of sense. It's time off of their life.
Mm-hmm.
The way it works is, and I didn't know all the details until I watched it, but you age normally until the age of 25, at which point you stop aging, and there's a clock on your arm that has an hour on it. I believe that's how it works, which makes me think a lot more people should die really, really young. But there's a clock with an hour on it, and you can earn more time. You can, as money, you work at a job, they give you time as payment. And if you want to pay for things, you go to get a cup of coffee. Oh, it costs you like a few minutes off of your life. But theoretically, if you can make enough money or time, you can live forever. So that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah.
But really, In Time is a movie about Justin Timberlake and his dead dad. When Justin was a wee boy,
yeah,
his dad was a fighter, and his dad died in a fight.
Like UFC, or is he a boxer?
Well, that's kind of the impression you get
fighting
when you first hear about it.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it works. And if you're not paying real close attention, you don't really know how it works until maybe halfway or more through the movie. So the whole time I kind of had this idea in my head that his dad was like a boxer, like he fought in these underground fighting rings. No, in Time, being a fighter, it's kind of like what bear means to gay people.
Okay.
Like, to gay people, a bear is like a cuddly, larger man with a beard who just wants to snuggle with you. And maybe build you some shelves, or maybe a nice armoire.
Yeah.
But in reality, to normal people who don't fuck other men in the butt, being a bear, yes, I know, being a bear would mean you were a scary animal who wants to kill you and eat your picnic baskets. Now, to normal people, fighters would be like people in the UFC, boxers, whatever. But in Time, a fighter is a man who holds other men's hands to death.
Okay, I have no idea.
They sit down at a table.
Oh, man, there's a table? Okay.
And they hold hands. It kind of looks like arm wrestling, except that it's like, you know how kids these days, they play soccer and nobody wins. Everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't matter. You're all winners. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. Everybody gets a trophy. Yeah. It's kind of like that for arm wrestling, that in terms of what it looks like. It's like you arm wrestle, but they both just put their hands down, like on the table, like they're holding hands. And they stare in each other's eyes, and they just wait till one of them dies.
What the fuck?
Now, there is a little bit more going on.
Okay, I'd hope so.
If you want to transfer time from yourself to somebody else, or from yourself to a store if you're trying to buy something or whatever, there's an interface on your wrist that if you're going to a store, they have these little devices. You put your wrist on there and it sucks time out of you, and you can like see the time decreasing on your clock. if you want to transfer time to somebody else, you match those little wrist thingies up. And I guess you just will it, because I don't know how the little wrist thingies know.
Why would you explain that?
Okay. Well, because like if you're both touching wrists, you would think like
it's going one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. But no, I do know how that works.
Okay.
Because that's part of how the fighting works.
Well, thank God.
Okay. So they hold hands. They stare in each other's eyes. And it's sort of like arm wrestling in that whoever's on top, I think, is who's receiving money.
Yeah.
Which again doesn't really make sense. Like, is there a gyroscope in your arm? Does your arm have an iPhone embedded in it?
Yeah.
But so it depends on whose arm is on top. Okay. So you sit there at the table, hold hands, stare in each other's eyes, and then try to flip the other person's arm over. And I guess the way Justin Timberlake's dad used to win, because he gave this speech at one point where he's like, my dad, he wasn't the biggest, strongest guy, but he had a technique. He would look at the other person and let his own clock count down till it was almost empty. And when you get past a certain point, the other person stops looking at their clock and starts looking at your clock. And that somehow gave him the upper hand.
No.
Like they wouldn't be able to feel him turning their arm over.
Yeah.
I'm so distracted. I have no idea that I am now losing. And if you've taken all of their time, if you've counted their, or if If they've counted your clock all the way down, mm-hmm. they now have their time and your time. So when you flip their arm over, you have to take all of that back. That takes a while. I think somewhere...
It's not like a Rocky somewhere, movie where it's like, oh, they come back, hit in the face and win.
Somewhere between the time sudden. That they start looking at your clock and the time that you... The time that you flip their arm over and the time that they die, they're probably going to notice that they are now losing. And if they're staring at your clock, they're going to notice that suddenly the numbers are counting up again. There's really no logic to how his dad supposedly used to win.
And this is crucial in these sci-fi movies. I like things explained. God damn it.
It's just silly. I mean, the whole thing is just silly. But
especially if it's that kind of, that plays a big part in the movie, right?
Yeah, there's a scene later.
It's a big chunk, yeah.
There's a scene later where Justin has to fight.
Mm.
And he does the same thing that he had explained earlier that his dad used to do. And mm-hmm. it totally works. And he kicks the other guy's ass, which is just nonsense. But anyway, Justin's mom is still alive. And she is played by Olivia Wilde.
Oh.
Because everybody stops aging at 25.
I see. I was going to say, yeah.
And I couldn't help but... first, I was disappointed that she was his mom. Because that meant nothing sexy was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or if it did, then I probably would have heard about it already. It would have been a controversial thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next thing I thought was, if my mom was Olivia Wilde, I would be in prison.
Yeah.
Or at least a social outcast, at the very least. I'd be in some trouble. I'd be in therapy. There would be problems.
Yeah.
But he seemed completely oblivious. Oh, that weird biological thing that everybody apparently has, but I kind of think is bullshit mm-hmm. and is a weird rationalization where like, hey, you know, I grew up with this person. I mm-hmm. can't think of him that way.
Yeah.
I guess that was true for him because he seemed oblivious to the fact that his mom was a smoking hottie. But so he lives in the ghetto, him and his mom. They live together. He works a shitty job. He actually makes, in a nice little bit of irony, I guess, he makes the little things that people use to transfer money. Like it's sort of like the equivalent of a wallet
mm-hmm.
That you can transfer time into, but they're these weird little electronic devices.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does all day, is makes those. And they live in the ghetto. They're poor. And one day he's at a bar with Darlene's boyfriend, David from Roseanne.
Yeah. That guy's still around.
Poor David. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Wow.
But he didn't kill himself yet.
Yeah.
So poor David, he's an alcoholic and he's hanging out in the bar and getting wasted. And Justin shows up to kind of hang out with him. And they notice that there's this crazy rich guy with a girl on each arm and he's buying drinks for everybody. And that just doesn't happen. You don't buy drinks for everybody when it costs you your life, parts of your life to buy drinks for everybody. And so Justin, because he is a super nice, sweet man, he goes up to this guy and he tries to warn him. He's like, you don't want to be in this part of town just giving away like, with that much time on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get killed. And the guy's like, I know. Yeah, I know. And then these gangsters show up. And just like real life, the gang is led by a smarmy Englishman in a suit.
Oh, of course.
It's a street gang. And they clear out the bar and they start threatening the rich guy. And Justin was in the back. He was like leaving the bar with David. And David's like, we got to get out of here. And Justin's like, no, I'm going to go back. I'm going to help this guy. And he's like, don't do it, man. It's suicide. And Justin's like, I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. Go home. So he goes back in to help the guy. And the guy, he asks if it's okay for the guy to go to the bathroom. Somehow they go to the bathroom mm-hmm. and he takes out one of the guards and they take off running. And the whole time the rich guy's like, I don't need your help. I know what I'm doing. Stop. But he ends up saving the rich guy and they're holed up in a building. And the rich guy explains to him how this really works.
Ooh.
There's enough time for everyone. Nobody needs to die. But for a few to live forever, some will have to die. That's like the big quote that he uses that like totally changes Justin Timberlake's mind. It blows his mind, opens him wide up, and he's no longer okay with this system.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of doesn't make sense when you really break it down. If The quote is, "For a few to live forever, some must die."
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of time. That was the other thing that he told him. There's plenty of time. There's no reason anybody has to die.
Yeah. Okay.
So what kind of sick, one-dimensional, evil, supervillainous bastard came up with this system? Yeah. If we could all live forever, but wouldn't a more appropriate system have something to do with like limiting births?
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
That was like, my first thought.
Yeah. You got to apply for a license to have a baby, and mm-hmm. they have to be created in a, if you're going to go crazy sci-fi, they have to be created in a test tube or something.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like making all the poor people die early, you have to be rich to live forever. But whatever. So that's the basic premise.
Mm-hmm.
Then Justin goes to sleep, and the other guy goes to sleep, but he wakes up sooner, and he gives all of his time to Justin. And then he's on the run because he's got all this time. And the rich guy gave him almost all of his time. He left himself like a few seconds to go off to a bridge, which doesn't make much sense. He gives him almost all of his time, leaves himself just enough time to go out on a bridge and sit on the ledge. And when he dies, because the clock runs out, he falls into to a river where he could have just given Justin all of his time and died in that building.
But no, I had to go to that bridge.
And not made a fucking spectacle out of it.
Yeah.
So now Justin's on the run, not only because he's on the run from the gangsters, because he has all this money now, mm-hmm. he has to keep it hidden, but also because he's on the run from the police, because they think he murdered this guy, because they know this guy had all this money and was in town, and now he's dead in a ditch, you know, in a river underneath an overpass.
I was going to ask, yeah, because in the preview, there's the rich guy and he gets all this money. Okay. But he's running from like the government. See, I thought they had some detection, you know, that some way to detect like this guy has too much time and he shouldn't. He's a poor bastard.
He
stole it. I don't know. But I was confused.
They did think he stole it. They thought he stole it and like murdered the guy.
Yeah.
But it was mostly because of that public spectacle on the street.
Yeah.
So then he gets real weird. Like he decides that he's going to take down the system
the
or
system,
something.
Yeah,
and he goes into the rich area. He goes into like into rich town. They call it New Greenwich, where all the rich people live. But he starts out not really doing anything weird, not doing anything to try to take down the system or figure it out. He goes to a casino and he gambles and he wins a bunch of money. And then he gets invited to a rich people party and he goes to the rich people party and he hangs out with the one rich guy's daughter. And then the cops show up because they figure out where he is. Oh, and in between, he buys stuff. He buys a nice car and he goes to a nice hotel. Then the cops figure out where he's at. He's at this rich people party. They come. They capture him. They take all that time away. And they're going to take him off to prison. But he gets away from them. But so he wasn't like he really just went to have a good time. He really just went to live like a rich guy, even though apparently his motivation was to go take down all the rich people. So I'm not really sure what he was doing. And then he kidnaps the rich guy's daughter in an attempt to get away. And then over time, they become best buddies and
sexual tension,
romantically involved. Then they go off and they start robbing banks. And that's basically the movie. That's
what
pretty
the
much
fuck?
The movie. Eventually, they get away from the cops because the main cop guy that was after them forgets to check on how much time he has left.
Yeah.
And so during like a standoff, he just dies because he didn't have enough time.
Nice.
And that's pretty much the movie.
Oh, man.
They start robbing banks and redistributing the time to the poor people in the poor neighborhood. And things start to change.
Change the world.
Yeah.
And it all start with him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't know. I give it 2.5 stars
out of five. Out of four?
Yeah. I'm only going for the 4-star system.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
2.5 out of
That's
four.
Fair.
I think it's worth watching. I think it's entertaining.
Interesting.
But
unique.
The main concept is kind of ridiculous. And I'm okay with that. I've said this before. I'm okay with making like one major suspension of disbelief, you know, for a premise.
Yep.
But because of how ridiculous the main premise is, there are weird little things that come along with it.
And they add up.
Yeah. Like, and they start to add up. Yeah. But overall, pretty good. Olivia Wilde, not in it long enough.
Yeah.
Should have been the main character. Then I would have been on board all the way.
Yeah. I couldn't help but picture like a world with the system, you know, the time system, and if welfare would exist, you know. Like,
I think it sort of did. I don't know if I missed it or they didn't really explain it, but there was one guy who owned some shop or whatever where he would just give out time.
Hmm.
And I don't really, because like that's how they, at a certain point, they started giving the time to that guy that they stole from banks and mm-hmm. he would give it out to people.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was some kind of welfare program or what.
Hmm. That would be. They're at the grocery store and these people don't deserve all this time, but they have it and they're just buying all this shit and people are giving them those looks.
Yeah.
Ugh, they didn't earn that.
There were a few times where they showed people just dead on the street or whatever.
Oh, God.
Because their time ran out.
Jesus. Oh, I totally forgot. I was just going to go grab some groceries. Whoops. Forgot to look at my arm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Justin's mom, Olivia Wilde, mm-hmm. dies right after paying a loan. Like she took a loan and then she goes to pay it off and she doesn't have a lot of time left and she goes to get on a bus to go home, but they've upped the charge on the bus.
Oh, Jesus.
And she didn't have enough time for the bus. But oh, she didn't have enough time to run home either. So she's running like crazy God, trying horrible. To get home. And then Justin realizes she's not home yet. And he's like, oh, this is weird. And he starts running towards where she'd be coming from. And he sees her and they're running towards each other. And she runs out of time, just in time to fall into his arms, and he sobs and sobs. Aww. And then we don't see anything after that, really. Like, we don't know what happened. Like, we don't see him, you know, calling the cops yeah. or going to a funeral or
yeah.
It's just, she died. I imagine he just left her in the street.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It sounds like one of those movies they'd have to do, like make a 4-hour movie to make it good. But they're like, oh, we only have like 2 hours. Let's cram all this shit in and we can't really fix that plot hole.
Yeah. You know,
that kind of shit. But
so it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Okay. I just want to throw this out there. I enjoy when you talk about movies. Even if they spoil it, I'll still watch them.
Oh, yeah. I just spoiled the fuck out of this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So.
But it's, yeah, because you do very well where I can just sit here and kind of visualize it. And then you save me money, you know.
Like you're not going to see it then?
If I was going to go see it, yeah, fuck that. I would pirate it anyway.
I'm just going to say I didn't. Fuck. Don't tell anyone, internet, but I didn't pay any money to see this movie.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Yeah. How stupid would that be? I got to walk to work, but I got to go see movies.
Yeah.
That's one thing I kind of have been thinking about. Somebody posted in the forums made me think about it, or maybe it was I'm Kilo with his whole thing about piracy last week.
Mm-hmm.
But when I pirate things, and I do, I'm a horrible pirate, but when I pirate things, the vast majority of the time, it's something I would not spend money on.
Yeah.
Like the last, I don't typically pirate video games, but the last one I did pirate was Deus Ex,
mm-hmm.
Human Revolution. And I pirated it because I'd watched some videos. It looked good. And I didn't really feel like I had the money to buy it. So I pirated it and I played it and I liked it. But if I couldn't have gotten it that way, I never would have gotten it at all.
Yeah.
And I talked about it on the show. It happens to be during a part that didn't get recorded. So you only heard it if you were listening live and were not that big or influential. So it probably didn't help their sales at all. I don't think I talked anybody into buying it. But my pirating it only added to the positive vibe about the game out there.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have seen it at all, really, you know, except for videos I saw on YouTube, if it weren't for the fact that I pirated it. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel everything I do when it comes to piracy is like that. This movie, In Time, mm-hmm. I would not have seen it if I didn't pirate it. Yeah. I wouldn't have gone to the theater to go watch it. All the TV shows I watch, if I couldn't watch them online, I wouldn't watch them at all. I wouldn't invest or pay for a TV package just to watch like Castle.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen.
No fucking way.
And I download music. I wouldn't buy most of that shit. I don't listen to music enough that I like couldn't live without this stuff that's on my MP3 player.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't buy it. Now that might not be true for everyone, but I occasionally hear people say what I'm saying. Like there are things that they've pirated that they never would have heard otherwise. They mm-hmm. never would have bought it. And then I hear other people get mad and say, you know, that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's absolutely true. The stuff that I pirate, I just wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. So that's the main reason I don't really feel that bad about piracy.
And there's people out there that are so much worse.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, my dad is insane.
Holy shit.
If the FBI is listening.
Shit.
I'll hand over my dad in exchange for some leniency on me.
Yeah.
That guy has, he practically has a vault full of pirated stuff that he probably won't even look at.
Yeah.
He has rented movies from like Blockbuster or whatever, rips them, burns them to a DVD and shoves them in the closet and doesn't even watch them. He has software that he's done that with.
Oh, yeah.
He downloads, fills up an external hard drive, and then when it's full, he starts burning it all to discs and shoving them in a closet. He doesn't even look at this stuff.
I picture your dad like going through his drawer, and it's like those 2 terabyte hard drives, you know, external.
Yeah.
Just going through what's on here, a bunch of shit. He's got like stacks of these terabyte, you know, dual 2 terabyte external hard drive. Stacks of them. And just nothing of it. Oh, I haven't even gone through half the shit. It's like, Jesus Christ, man, you're out of control.
He's like somebody who grew up in the Depression and now they just stockpile food.
Yeah.
Or they hide money in mattresses and things, you know, like just this irrational leaning in the other direction. It's like, I couldn't digitally download anything when I was a child, so now I'll download all the things.
Everything.
Yeah, it's crazy. At some point, like, my dad's going to die and somebody's going to discover all of this shit and they'll build like a new internet archive based on my dad's collection.
Yeah. God,
it'll be in a museum because he's got files that we thought were long gone.
Yeah. God damn.
But anyway, you want to do some Facebooks and Twitters.
Sounds
and
good.
Voicemails and all that stuff. What do you want to start with?
Shit. Let's start with the Twitter.
Okay, let's start with the Twitter. This Twitter, it's so crazy. I'm Kilo. If you judged based solely on the Twitter, you would swear I'm Kilo was our biggest fan.
Yeah.
And it might be true. I don't know. But I'm Kilo says, man, lots of stuff. He says, in response to Miss Nick getting lost, not being able to find XYZ address is so very frustrating, or not knowing how to get into a building. And I don't know if this is a reference to this, but I had a story I told a while back about the time I was waiting for a package from FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept coming at inopportune times. And eventually it got to the point where I had to go pick it up. So I looked up where this FedEx place was. And it was nowhere near anywhere I'd ever been before in my life. And I looked up the directions and I drove out there and I couldn't find the building because it's not on a real road. It's on one of those fucking corporate roads.
Yeah.
There are these little, I don't know if everybody knows what I'm talking about, but there are these like office complexes and there are these weird curvy roads that are only kind of roads. They usually don't even have lines painted on them.
Yeah.
And it gets real confusing. A lot of times there'll be like 2 roads with almost the exact same name. Like, I think around here somewhere there's like Camelot Court and then a Camelot Drive or something like that.
Yeah. Why?
Anyway, so I get a little bit lost, can't find the building. I finally find the building. It has a FedEx sign that's like not facing the road.
Of course.
It's facing their own parking lot. That's so you wouldn't see it from the road. I don't know why there even is a sign. Then I get there. I get parked. And I can't find the entrance.
Yeah.
How do you get in this fucking building?
Yeah, who built this?
I see one door on one side that's closed and like kind of papered up. Like the inside of it is like, it's one of those glass doors, you know, where it's all window, but it's all covered in stuff. Like, so you can't actually see in the building and it's locked. And it's a very small door. It doesn't look like the main entrance to a building.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, that's got to be like a side door or something. And I walk all around the building. There's one other door that I find, and it looks like a back door. It looks like a little smoking break area. I couldn't find a way into the building. It turns out I was there too late anyway, and they were closed, so it wouldn't have mattered. But I still don't know what the appropriate way to enter that building was.
God damn.
So, I mean, I can relate to what you're saying about not being able to find where you're going and not being able to find your way into the fucking building. I mean, I assume that buildings are designed by architects, right?
Yeah.
Like people who design buildings.
Yeah.
How does one get made that's that functionally fucked up? I don't know how it happens. Whatever.
Even for the employees, like it's your first day and you're like, where the fuck do I go?
You show up for a job interview or your first day on the job and you don't know how to get into work.
I need to get in and make money. How do I get in?
It's like a hazing ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or this is part of the application process. If you can't find your way into the building, then you're not hired.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe you're supposed to climb on top and climb down a ladder into a room or something. I don't know. Then I'm Kilo says, that's weird. Twitter search doesn't seem to go back very far. I know I've had some older tweets about Itch Hat, but they are no show. I wonder what he was looking for. Like he's looking for old Itch Hat tweets. I don't know. He has tweeted about us before. He tweeted about us this week. He said, super long at Itch Hat podcast episode 142 is good times. And then a bunch of hashtags, not safe for work, foul language, jokes. I just had a terrible thought.com/itchhat/blah, blah, blah. That's the actual URL for the show. But so he's done stuff like that before, which is awesome. I wish people would do that more often, because that is because I don't really promote the show. And there really is no good way to promote a podcast at this point, like other than like networking with other podcasts, or, you know, it really, the only way to promote is to have other people promote for us, and word of mouth is the best way to do it. So if you have friends, presumably they have similar interests to you, and if you're listening to this every week, maybe they would like to listen to it too.
Yeah.
So tell all your friends. I'm Kilo's already doing it, and that's why he's my favorite. Then he says, also, whenever I get lost, I swear at the people that left directions for giving them so poorly. That's not something I've ever really had a problem with. But I think I've heard things about like men navigate this way and women navigate this way. Women navigate by landmarks and men navigate by street names and addresses. And if that's true, then I navigate like a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know the street names anywhere. I barely know the street name that I live on.
Who has the time? There's always a fucking tree or bush in front of a goddamn street sign. You're like, ooh, what's that? What's that? Oh, shit, that was it.
I sometimes have trouble remembering my own address.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I navigate by landmarks.
Landmarks, like, man.
The reason I know where I'm going when I'm going somewhere is because I know what it looks like on the way there. So, I mean, if usually when people give directions, in my experience, that's how they give them. They're like, you drive down till you see the McDonald's, then you make a right, then you'll come to a Shell station and you make a left, and then it's half a mile down the road and there you are.
Yep.
But I'm sure there are people who give just terrible directions, and that sucks. And then Kilo says, soon as the gas gauge hits 1/4, I try to just hit up the next location. Long road trips get a little longer that way, though. I get what you're saying. You know, try to stop for gas before you're on E.
You don't understand.
But this thing I was talking about in Pennsylvania, it wouldn't matter if I started looking at 1/4 of a tank.
Yeah.
Because that 1/4 of a tank can very possibly be gone by the time I get to a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that bad.
It's a big chunk of the adventure. Yeah, the trip.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk of the trip. All of a sudden,
humanless terrain.
All signs of civilization just drop off.
Oh, yeah.
There are no lights. There are no buildings. It's like there are not even any other cars. It's like a dead zone.
Yeah, it is.
It really doesn't. You'd have to start looking for a gas station when you're on like 3/4 of a tank going through Pennsylvania. Anyway. Then Kilo says the no cash law was aimed at thwarting criminals that would sell things like copper to a junkyard. That law won't stop them. I never disagreed with you about the law not stopping them. I agree that the law won't stop them. But I think this is kind of in regards to what I said last week about people don't commit crimes because they're criminals. People are criminals because they commit crimes. Which was a weird distinction to make, because I don't think he was trying to say the opposite.
Yeah, I don't think,
But I think here what he's trying to say is like, you know, the kind of people who steal copper to sell to a junkyard are like a special kind of criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not just somebody getting desperate and stealing something from somebody's house to sell off because they're a crackhead or something. These are like career criminals, which, you know, fair enough. But I wasn't really trying to argue with you.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Kilo says the worst part about weddings and funerals is the cost, even if you are just attending. Yeah, you got to buy presents. You got to buy special clothing.
You got to look a certain way. Yeah.
If they don't have an open bar, you got to buy drinks because you got to be drunk at a wedding reception.
Speaking of which, I wonder how Paul's doing with his friends. Because I want to say I saw a post when I was on Facebook briefly, like. I don't know if he still is. I don't think he is. When was he leaving? Anyway, he was basically reaching out like, hey, I'm still in the state, guys. You want to hang out?
I think I saw that post. He was talking about
today's the last day. That's right.
If anybody could, does anybody want to meet up in Lansing I think is what he said. And
hopefully nobody hates him.
I saw some responses that seemed positive. So I think he's good.
Because I was going to say, man. But anyway.
Now, this is interesting, kind of. The Grey Ghost Net, Sean Ryan of Method to Mothballs podcast. He asks us, what do you hope to achieve with this podcast, episode or as a whole? Which I'm sure he didn't mean this way, but kind of sounds like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
It's a
jeez, a little harsh.
It's a difficult thing to answer. As far as this episode, I mean, I guess what I'm hoping to achieve with this episode is entertain you.
Yeah,
I guess. And in terms of the show as a whole, that's definitely part of the goal, is to entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
I have some more lofty goals, I suppose, that are maybe unrealistic, you know, especially at this stage. I'm not really working towards them, but I would love it. I would absolutely love it if I could someday somehow spin this into a career.
Yeah.
You know, somehow get away from working for the man and do something like this.
Yeah, the more support we get, the more you're saying, you know, fuck the man. And I know everybody listening hates the man.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. I have plans in terms of things down the road that will kind of, that are more to that end. Mm-hmm. You know, things, ways I want to kind of expand and do more things and stuff. But it probably doesn't seem like that right now. The website has been the same for a long time and it's kind of broken. It's really a terrible website. I don't know much about web development. And the forums are, we've had a lot of problems with the forums and I've never really changed anything there either. And we basically just do the same thing week in and week out and nothing changes. But I do have somewhat lofty goals and bigger plans. They just require money.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I don't even have enough money to not have to walk to work and get blisters the size of my head on the bottoms of my feet. Mm-hmm. So I can't really invest in any of these new ideas, but that is, I guess, the goal. The goal is to, is first to entertain you. And, I guess second to get better at entertaining you. I feel like from the beginning of the show, when we started the show, I have gotten better at doing it. I feel like we have. I feel like Orion has also gotten better at doing
it. That's not
I feel
a like cynical thing to say at all.
No, I don't think
factual.
So.
You can listen back, man. Proof.
And I feel in some ways like it's improved me as a person having done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I guess the third thing would be to try and make something out of it so that I could no longer go off and do things I hate just to continue to live.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that? Because this question is obviously for both of us and I pretty much just took it and ran with it.
No, I totally agree with you. I do find it weird throwing that out there. Like when I listen to musical artists sing a song and it's on the radio about hopefully, you know, they'll get big and make it and we'll have all this money. And it's just hearing that's kind of weird. Like, I'm doing it for the money. I just want to, you know, I want to be happy and have all this money. And this is how I'm doing it. But not with that song, asshole. Make a better song. Fuck you. You know.
Well, actually, that made me think of something else, which I guess is another goal of this for me, or something I'm hoping to achieve, which is going to make me sound like a bit of a, I don't know, a narcissist or something. But for me, if I'm being 100% honest, part of the goal is just to get people to like me, which I know sounds ridiculous and terrible. Yeah. It's but it's true. I mean, there is a part of me, and I don't know if this is the same for you, Orion. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But there's a part of me that just wants everybody to like me. I want to be liked. I want people to. It probably comes across as the opposite sometimes, but I do. I want people to like me. I like the idea of having fans.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like, I don't mean that in a weird douchey way. Like I want everybody to worship me or anything like that. Like it's really not about celebrity, but I like that there are people who listen and like they like listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of it, you know, that somebody out there cares what I have to say this week. And it's a little strange to think about when you put it in those terms, that there's somebody out there that cares what I have to say this week and they don't know me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little weird to think about. Like, what do I have to say that's so fucking important? Nothing. I talked this week for like 20 minutes to a half an hour about blisters on my feet. Yep. But there's somebody out there who wants to hear that. And that's like life affirming or something.
Yeah.
You know? So that's part of it for me. I hope I explained it in a way that doesn't make me sound like a total asshole.
No. Everybody wants to be liked.
So are you on, is that part of it for you too, or am I alone in that? Are you just like, this is fun to do? And
absolutely. Okay. I like the idea of people out there enjoying the show that disagree with us at the same time. Not all the time, you know, they just,
I don't mind that they disagree with us, but the only time I enjoy that they disagree with us is if I feel like I'm really right and it could be fun to argue against them.
But it's that's kind of nice, you know, like someone out there to bounce around ideas with you, and you can kind of, instead of just shooting the shit on the show, you really can learn a thing or two, you know.
And if the
throwing around opinions
in terms of the show getting ideas. Bigger, like in terms of, I mean, kind of related to the sort of celebrity angle, you know, the more and the fans, the more people are listening, the more people are fans, the more likely you are to encounter cool people that you can collaborate with, or, you know, like maybe someday somebody writes us an email and says, hey, I own a screen printing shop and I really love the show. I think we could hook you up with t-shirts or something.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for free, just, you know, somebody who actually gives a shit about what we're doing, who wants to help, wants to be a part of it. And like, we could help them by, you know, shouting out their shop or whatever, you know, that's that kind of stuff. We have such a small listener base and I love every single one of you. That's not like an insult, but we have such a small listener base that that's like a way down the road kind of thing if it ever even happened.
Oh yeah.
But that kind of stuff won't happen unless that many people are listening. You know what I mean? Or somebody could be like, hey, I love doing web development and stuff, and your website kind of sucks. I love the show, but your website kind of sucks. I could hook you up with a better website. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Orion's just nodding at me now, so I'm going to move on. Then Gavin, our good buddy Gavin Almond. I don't actually know. It occurred to me, I always say it that way. Almond.
That's the only way to say it.
I don't know how it would be pronounced by a normal person. I don't know if it's almond. I don't know if it's almond. I don't know. I've never asked. I just always say almond. Yeah. So tell me if I've been saying it. I mean, I know I've been saying it weird, but tell me if I've actually been pronouncing it wrong the whole time.
You think he would, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's a pretty chill guy. Maybe he just doesn't give a fuck. I mean, Aileen told us way back that we were saying it wrong, but I don't think he ever really told me how to say it right.
Yeah.
Although I told him not to. Anyway, Gavin says, a friend of mine sent me a handwritten letter. She says it's fun and the anticipation is enjoyable. That's stupid, right?
Yeah. Goddamn.
Yeah, kinda. I mean, handwritten, there's no excuse in this day and age to send a handwritten letter. Unless you're like living on a deserted island with nothing but a mailbox that's checked by a guy dangling blindfolded from a helicopter once a day.
Know.
And like, you know, you can't interact with him because he just swoops in and out and checks the mail. So your only contact with the outside world is this mailbox. And you're like writing on palm fronds and making your own stamps and shit. There's no excuse for a handwritten letter for any kind of real communication, because we have email.
That's true.
We have fucking Twitter and Facebook and phones and text messages and Skype. There's so many ways to get in contact with somebody right now, or at least whenever they get a chance to check.
Yeah.
That to send a handwritten letter is inconvenient for both of you. I mean, it's really just kind of dumb. And there are people who will tell you that, you know, a handwritten letter shows a certain dedication. There's a certain personal quality to it. You know, I sat down with a pen and I scrawled every single one of these lines by hand. This was a loving and caring crafting effort that I put into this. It's a physical object that's been handled by me. It's just more personal. And those people are idiots. Those people, that is a grandma rationalization just to rationalize to yourself your fear of change and technology. A grandma, you show her a computer. You hand her a computer. You say, Grandma, this is going to make your life so much better. You want to get in contact with Aunt Lucy? You can get in contact with her right fucking now. You don't have to. Your handwriting looks like shit. You're a shitty old woman. You can type. I know you can type because, like, you grew up in the era when women first started getting jobs and you were a secretary and you had to type up letters all the time. I know you can type. So you can just type this stuff out. It's totally legible, super easy. You send it off immediately. And grandma looks at that computer and it might as well be a box of cockroaches because she's going to react to it the same way with revulsion because she doesn't understand it and she's too old to learn new tricks. She's an old dog. You can't teach. To try to teach something to a grandma is like trying to teach a dog to thumb wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do it and you look like an idiot trying.
Mm-hmm.
So, in closing. No, Orion, go ahead. You seem a couple times he's been like, but I love letters.
The idea of someone doing that exclusively, like I only write letters. Yeah, that's fucking retarded. But I kind of get some kind of joy on hanging on to that old method, you know, like sending letters.
Oh, they're boy.
They are more personal. Like if somebody makes a mistake and they scribble it out.
It's starting to turn. I'm starting to see it.
But there's old men out there. What were those fucking things you played on a few episodes back that sounded like Miss Nick's voicemail?
Oh, number stations.
Yeah. I was checking this shit out because it interested me.
Yeah.
There's old men out there with souped up computer technology and they have programs where they send out these signals.
Okay.
But they have programs that interpret them and they basically just chat with old buddies through this system because they enjoy it. It's like nostalgic.
It sounds like it's not the same, but it sounds like ham radio enthusiasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and there's people that still do the Morse code thing with buddies.
They sit in their garage and they get on their radio and they
dig it. Yeah.
They just listen to police messages and then they start talking to random people who live in cornfields.
it's like grabbing a really old walkie-talkie radio, you know, with a big long ass antenna and you're listening and someone's out there going, hey, is anybody out there just fucking around?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, this is so cool.
Yeah, it's like a little kid getting on a CB and talking to truckers.
Yeah.
But here's the big difference between the ham radio enthusiasts and people who write handwritten letters.
Right.
Ham radio enthusiasts have a hobby. People who write handwritten letters are just dicks.
Yeah.
It's not a hobby. It's not like every night I sit down and I write a handwritten letter. I'm a handwritten letter enthusiast. They're either old people or they're hipsters. Like, ugh, iPhone, gross consumerism. Ugh, email. Ugh, email. I don't watch TV. You know, I don't take Facebook. I won't touch that shit.
Yeah.
Facebook is for, you know, teeny bopper, white bread, fucking mainstream America. I'm not coming anywhere near that shit because it'll suck my soul out of my body. They're like, it's like borderline superstition. Like, don't take my picture with a camera because it'll suck my soul out.
Yeah.
Like, if I get on Facebook, I'll just turn into a sheep.
Yeah.
Those are the two kinds of people who write handwritten letters.
Yeah.
And think that it's the best thing.
Yeah.
So yes, your friend is terrible. Light them on fire. Do you have anything else to say about
letters? That was it.
Okay. Moving right along. Last week, I talked about our buddy Devin in the forum had posted something to do with libidos, and then he edited it out of his forum post, so I didn't talk about it. And I still don't know why he edited it. That's a weird thing to say. Edited it.
Yeah. Edited it out. Edited it.
I still don't know why he did that, but on the Twitter this week, he says, libido repeat with clarity. Mine just ain't what it used to be. Orion is fine, but how about Kyle? I'm just not as into it as I was. See, the post in the forums last week said something along the lines of, I've noticed, you know, that Kyle, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've noticed that you seem to not really have a big, strong libido. You know, you don't really seem to be out there chasing tail. You're not thinking about it as much. And Orion would fuck a horse falling into lava, I think was what he said.
Yeah.
And so you know, talk about that a little bit. He said that he can relate more to me, I guess. He just doesn't really feel it as much anymore.
Oh, damn.
So that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what I was going to talk about last week, although, you know, I kind of thought he didn't want me to.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he does want me to. So, I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know that mine is as dwindled so much.
Like, it hasn't dwindled.
Aside from, you know, when I was going through puberty, at that point, I mean, it was full on. Like, I told the story about the time we took a trip to Florida, my mom, my sister and I couldn't help myself. And we had rented a van and yeah. I was in the back of it. My sister was sleeping and my mom was driving and I couldn't help myself. I hid under a blanket and stealth jacked. That was a confusing time for a young boy. But ever since then, I feel like it's been kind of, to me, it feels like it's just under control. It feels just normal. But when I interact with other people and talk about sex, it seems to me like they are crazy people because they'll talk about, like, you will talk about how every time you meet somebody in the grocery store, you think about them naked and all the positions you want to fuck them in.
Not exactly, but.
And yeah, you talk to a mom and her daughter and they were both hot, so you couldn't help picturing them doing each other. And
I'm just.
Go ahead.
It's not like I choose to. That's all.
That's what I'm saying.
It enters my head.
I didn't say it was a choice. I'm not blaming you. What I'm saying is you seem like a crazy person when you say things like that, because to me, that's not where my brain would go at all. And I hear other people say things like, I've heard people say, I've heard on other podcasts, I've heard somebody call in and ask for relationship advice or something. And the person, the host will ask, like, when was the last time you had sex? And they'll be like, oh, it was 3 months ago. And they'll go, 3 months?
Yeah.
3 months? How have you not killed yourself? Yeah. Like, it's the craziest thing in the world. And I'm not even sure now because I'm so bad with time, but I know it's been over a year since I've had sex. And it's been longer than that. I just can't put the timeline together in my head. And I don't really miss it in that way. It's not driving me crazy. You know, I'm not like, oh God, if I could just bust a nut in some chick. And it's just, when you say it like that, it sounds so, it's such a crazy thing to want to do so bad.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it for me, is that I can't rationalize it. Like, it doesn't make sense. I mean, there are two functional things that happen when you have sex. You have an orgasm, which feels good, and you potentially make a baby. I have no interest in making a baby, and I can have orgasms by myself. So it's so crazy to me to be so hung up on wanting to do this thing that essentially equates to banging up against another human being until you squirt something.
God damn it, Kyle.
That's what it is to me.
I know, you're breaking it down and it makes sense. I understand.
It can be a lot of fun and it feels nice, but it's not this super important thing to me. And it almost scares me how, like, chemically driven people are. Like, when I hear
Some people,
this is completely the wrong reaction I have gathered. But when I hear people talk about having kids and, you know, you see that kid for the first time, I didn't think it would happen to me. I didn't. I was right with you. But when you see that kid for the first time, they put it in your arms for the first time. It's like a light switch. Just, and now I'm in love. I'm in love with this goddamn kid. It must be something chemical and science seems to support it. Mm-hmm. That's scary to me. The idea that you could just shove this thing in my hands and I'm in love with it now because my body just said I am. With kids, it makes sense. Yeah. It's beneficial with kids.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff kind of scares me. The idea that I am driven biologically to want to fuck people is scary to me. I mean, what? Because rationally, logically, mentally, I have no desire to do that. It's such a crazy thing to do.
God damn you. Fucking banging up against another human being and squirting. Oh, man.
That's what it is.
I know.
And it's so crazy that that's the best part. The part where you squirt shit into another human being.
And it's not always in their hole, you know, it's in the
that's even weirder
mouth,
the whole, like, the way it
belly
you
button.
Pull it out and you do it on their back or on their ass or you do it in their on their chest.
Yeah.
It's so, all of it's crazy.
Yeah.
Ugh. But, you know, so that's how I feel about it. And I don't feel as biologically driven as other people. And I don't know if that's a medical condition. But if it is, I'm not in a hurry to fix it. I can't see how I'm at a disadvantage here.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. How do you feel as a normal sexual male?
I feel enslaved. Yes.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Do you really?
God.
Yeah.
It's like me versus my mind. Yeah. Things enter my head I have no control over. And I know it's sick. Fuck. I know it. But there's some satisfaction I get out of being okay with that. I don't know. I was so afraid of sex as a, you know, a young adult and as a child and everything. It was so scary. It was so intimidating. And now that I'm like, that's all it is, you know? It's comforting that I can have this kind of shit enter my head and I know it's sick, but it's
you've
like bumping
accepted yourself.
Yeah, like if I was single and I bumped into this girl and I thought she was cute and the thought of sex entered my head, it would cripple me before in the past. But now, say today, if I were single and this happened, I could conquer the fear, you know?
So yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, you make it sound like a crippling disability that you've overcome.
Yeah.
Like you should get a Special Olympics medal, which is great, I guess. But I mean, you've said a couple times that it's sick. And some of the things that you picture. But I think really you're the normal one here.
Probably.
I think the vast majority of people feel much more like you do than they feel like I do.
Yeah.
And I've said before, and this might be some kind of weird psychological shit, but I know I'm not alone because I've looked it up. But I've said before that after I have an orgasm, whether it's by myself or with another person, I get this weird depression. I forget what they call it. It's post-coital depression.
Yes.
Something like that. And so that's just another reason why it's not that important to me, because I know, like, I almost get embarrassed. Like if I had sex with a really hot chick and it's just the best. Oh, so great. And then it's over. Now I suddenly become aware that I'm a naked, disgusting man and I'm on top of you or behind you or whatever. And I just got you dirty or slimy with something. Now you have to go to the shower or bathroom and take care of yourself, you know, because wherever I put it, it's not a good place for it, you know. And then what do? Do I put my clothes back on and we watch TV, or do we cuddle? And cuddling, honestly, in my opinion, naked cuddling after sex just feels gross. It really, I love cuddling. I'll cuddle with a woman all night long. Mm-hmm. You know, I've said my Detective Kate Beckett on ABC's Castle.
Yes, yes.
I would hug her for hours, but not naked after sex.
But it's kind of like the motivator for round two, you know? Sometimes.
If it was hot, it would be.
Yeah.
But because I am not currently ready for sex, I'm done with sex for the moment. I am just thinking, I'm hyper aware of how disgusting I am as a human being, how hairy and misshapen and sweaty and just gross I am. And I'm snuggling up against you and I feel impolite in doing it. So that's not a sexy time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not getting me ready for round two. Yeah. That's getting me ready to flee in terror.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hope you never contact me again, so I never have to look you in the eyes and
so
feel that judgment.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I have the world's greatest endurance. You know, I don't think that I've left a lot of women unsatisfied.
Yeah.
But I haven't left them extra satisfied. If there was like a review system for my sexual encounters, I would have 2.5 stars out of 5. Out of 5.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, you know, I mean, it all adds up to, I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, if some hot chick wanted to bang me, I'd probably bang her, and then I'd feel bad about it afterwards and go watch stuff on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's not a big deal to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's how he feels, because he says it as though he feels almost like it's a bad thing. Like, you know, I'm just not as into it anymore. It's when he says it, and I don't know that this is what he means, but when he says it, it sounds like something you'd say to a therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know what my deal is, but I just don't feel it anymore. I'm just not interested.
He's hyper aware like you are, or he thinks of it exclusively, no longer as lustful, you know, but more as, you know, I only want to do this if I really love the woman.
Oh, that's just crazy.
You know,
that is crazy because there's nothing.
It's like, it's that idea, like fucking a stranger. It's like, yeah, you feel bad. Like I never got your name, you know?
That's not, well, first of all, I've never fucked a total stranger. Like I've only fucked people whose names I knew.
Yeah.
but I mean, that's definitely not the issue for me. But the love thing, like I only have sex with people I'm in love with. I mean, great. I mean, I guess if that's the way it works for you, like I only have sex with people I'm dating, which presumably are people I'm in love with, well, then great. But if that's like the reasoning is like, I can't do it with you because I'm not in love with you.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy because people love to treat sex as a romantic act.
Yeah.
Like this is a gesture of my love for you. Well, it's not. It just isn't.
Ultimately, yeah.
That's like coming up to somebody and sticking your finger in their nose and going, this is how I show you that I love you. I guess the main difference would be they'd have to really enjoy your finger in their nose or at least kind of enjoy your finger in their nose. But it's not a showing of love. It's this weird thing you're biologically driven to do. Both of you, you get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, but it's not like, it's not any better or worse because I am or am not in love with you, because I am or am not interested in snuggling up and watching a romantic comedy or a couple episodes of Gilmore Girls with you afterwards. It makes no difference. It's fucking. It fucking is fucking. I've been there. I've fucked people I was in love with, and I fucked people that I only knew their name, really. And in both cases, it's the same thing.
Yeah. I picture in your head, like, there's this, like, Barbie doll and a Ken doll, but they're not dolls. They're people, you know, in this fantasy world with this big house, and they're in love, and they're like, let's go make love, and they go in the house. And if all people made this sound, they go in the house, and you're just looking at the house, and all you hear is...
Basically, that's what it's like.
Listen, love you. Yeah.
Oh man, it would be so great to talk to somebody who is all about, making love. Mm-hmm. They always refer to it as making love. They never say having sex. They never say fucking. I make love to my wife.
Yeah.
And when we make love, it is so great. It is the best. It is the greatest expression of our love for each other. I would love to hide a tape recorder in that room and play that back for them at a time when they are not in the mood to have sex and ask them, what does that sound like to you?
Yeah.
Does that sound like two people just loving each other?
Yeah.
Or does that sound like a couple of weirdos grunting and breathing heavy?
Yeah.
Or maybe trying not to make a lot of noise and shaking the bed, trying not to wake the children?
Yeah.
It's
even if you put on like some Boys to Men, you know? It's still
that just makes it
worse.
It's
still fucking
Well, that's a whole other ball game. I mean, anybody who thinks Boys to Men is the
I'll make love to you.
Anybody who thinks Boys to Men is the key to a woman's heart,
oh God, put it in my ass,
should kill themselves.
Yeah,
and any woman whose heart can be unlocked with Boys to Men should also kill themselves. and if they don't kill themselves, they should be sterilized. Because you're not fit for procreation.
Oh, man. I want to make a video, like a hardcore anal sex porn. I don't want to make this. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
do what you? Am I saying? Like, I want to rip, you know, a video off the internet of a hardcore anal sex porno and put some Boys to Men over it.
I'll make love to you like you want
fucking
me
great.
To. And I'll hold you tight. Baby, all through the night.
That's great. Oh, God.
Take it. Yeah.
It's like ass to mouth porn. Oh, man.
There's a reason that porn isn't really, that they don't do porn movies as like romances. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they exist, but there's a reason that's not what porn is. Yeah. Anyway, I guess moving right along. Yeah. Devin also says, and can we get a let's play? Let's play. I'm taking that as him asking, like, can I get a what? Or can I get an amen?
Yeah, yeah.
These let's plays are a tricky thing because I could easily put out a let's play a day.
Oh, yeah.
All by myself. Mm-hmm. And it would be easy as hell, but they'd be terrible because I have to be inspired to do it. Or else it'll be me playing Pocky and Rocky for the Super Nintendo and going, and now I'm killing a ghost. Oh, here comes a boss. Oof, it's a good thing I picked up that power up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have things to say about it that aren't just, this is what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's my opinion. And so like when we did Ninja Baseball Batman, that was an easy one because the whole fucking game, it was like
took care of itself. Yeah.
It was like it was created during a schizophrenic episode. You know, the whole thing is just insane. Yeah. There was plenty of stuff to comment on there.
Very easy. Yeah.
But, you know, I discovered when I tried to do my Minecraft Let's Play, there gets to be a point where you're just playing the game and there's nothing really to talk about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, something has to hit me that I'm like, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Like when we did the, Pony Corn Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was funny. I thought the game itself was funny. And I thought it'd be hilarious to make you play it.
Yeah.
So that's why we did that one. Because I thought it'd be funny to make you play it.
Yeah.
And I think I was right.
Yeah.
And when we played Quap, I thought was going to be funny because of how fucking difficult it is and how goofy it looks when you're trying to do it.
Yeah.
I thought it would be funny. And I think I was kind of right.
Yeah.
Same thing with GURP. But I can't think of, like, there's nothing that's screamed, let's play this
as a let's play. It's got to be the appropriate thing.
Yeah. And maybe he wants episode 2 of Let's Play Ninja Baseball Batman, which I guess we should fucking do,
right?
I mean, it's been long enough.
Oh, yeah.
But every time this comes up between the two of us, we say we should probably do that.
Yep.
And then you go home
and
you come over next week and we have either forgotten about it or we have the same conversation.
Yep.
We should probably do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we don't actually see each other very often, Orion and I. It's really once a week when we do this.
Yep.
And on, you know, on podcast nights, like right now, it's like 3:30 in the morning.
Yep.
So when we get done with this, it'll probably be 4 or later.
Mm-hmm.
And Orion has a baby.
Yep.
And I'm not. That doesn't mean he can't stick around, but
it gets trickier.
There are time constraints.
Yep.
And doing a let's play could potentially take more time than just doing the let's play.
We could be up till 8 in the morning, easy.
I got to set it up and make sure that the recording is working right. And then we got to actually do the let's play and then make sure that that saved properly and stuff. And, you know, go through it, make sure it worked. And, you know, it could be a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's difficult.
It's tricky.
Yep. But I'd love to do it. I enjoy doing it. But that's my answer for now, I guess. And then I'm Kilo says, regarding car problems, would a bike/motorcycle make any sense as an alternative?
Fuck no. In the wintertime?
Yeah. Kind of, sort of, it might. But a bike, like a bicycle, I considered because it'd be better than walking. But I would have to buy a bike, which, of course, would be cheaper than buying a car. But
I'm picturing you riding a bicycle. I'm sorry.
Well,
with the motorcycle boots, leather jacket down. That's the street. Not fucking great.
Pride isn't the biggest issue there, but yes, it would look absolutely fucking retarded. Me, you know, riding any kind of bike, like a mountain bike or whatever, down the road on the way to work. It would look like
a mountain bike would be great.
It would look like the bicycling version of the fat guy in a little coat thing that Chris Farley did in Tommy Boy or whatever.
Yeah,
it would look ridiculous, me sitting on a bicycle riding to work. But beyond that, it is becoming winter here, and the snow hasn't started yet, but when it does, riding a bicycle and especially riding a motorcycle would be very terrible ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the motorcycle goes, I'd probably, if I was at that point where I was like, I'll just get a motorcycle, I'd just get a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I could get a junker that would be just as cheap, if not cheaper, than a motorcycle.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate the suggestions, but but no, those really wouldn't, in my particular case, would not really be much of an alternative.
Probably expecting like, oh, never thought of that. Yeah, I'll just go out.
No, I mean, he's just trying to be helpful. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But yeah, a bike would make more sense than a motorcycle, but neither one would really work. I mean, a bike would get me through maybe a couple more weeks, you know, because it's getting to that point where the first snow is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
So,
dumb idea. Yeah,
dumb idea. What an idiot. What a retard. Get a life. So, Facebook now? That was all the Twitters. Okay, Facebook. Gavin Almond says, I bought a candle this week. Does this make me a woman? I feel sort of the same way about candles as I feel about handwritten letters.
Oh, no.
There's no real excuse for a candle outside of some kind of emergency situation.
No, it smells so good.
Okay,
it smells
all right.
So good.
If that's maybe you bought
it
a candle.
Good.
If you bought a candle because they smell good, then yes, you're a woman.
Nah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You make your house smell so good. Like, it's not like, that kind of smells good. It's like, damn, this smells good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
did you get a job with the Yankee Candle Company recently?
No,
what's going on here?
No.
You're coming out swinging.
I was
as pro candle.
I was the same as you, Kyle. When I was like, fuck candles, that gay faggoty shit.
Oh man, I can see it. You
fucking
just keep
candles.
Turning.
No. You know? Liked candles way before I had the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started when I came home and there was a candle lit, and I'm like, oh my God. God damn. I probably said that. Oh my God damn, it smells good in here.
Okay.
And I was converted. Yeah.
Okay. So candles smell really good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends a little bit on what he bought the candle for. If he bought the candle because it smells really good, Orion approves, but you are a bit of a woman. If you bought the candle for illumination and you don't live in a third world country, then you're just kind of a dummy.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, you're stocking up your like emergency cabinet and you just have a cabinet full of candles in
case, a woman.
You know, the world starts to end. Then I guess they're okay. If you bought the candles for some kind of ambiance, like, hey, I want to have a romantic evening with a lady. So I bought some candles. I got the Boyz II Men out. You know, we're going to have a good time. Yeah. We're going to make some love. Yeah, that's such garbage.
Yeah.
Ugh. Candles as a mood lighting, candles as romance. Here's the thing for me.
Yeah.
If I am interested in a girl and I ask her, what would your ideal evening be?
Yeah.
You and me. And she says a romantic candlelit dinner with some nice music on.
Mm-hmm.
Then I say, get out of my life. You horrible bitch. Because that's so stupid.
Yeah, it is.
It's nothing. It means literally nothing. The fucking candle.
Yeah.
All it is dim light. A dim, unreliable light source is the most romantic thing. I like to pretend I live in an era before electricity.
Oh, man.
Right before I have some sex.
I don't know what it is.
You know what gets me in the mood? A nice log cabin.
Oh man, lack of technology.
A hardwood floor.
Yeah.
Or a nice unfinished basement. It just gets me going.
I don't know. Candlelit, not for sex, but maybe oral sex. Yeah.
What?
I don't know. If you had the Boyz II Men in a candle, oral sex in exchange, you know, me first, then you. All right.
Oh, but, so this is an. Oh, wait. No, I'm
but
not kidding
was,
what you're saying.
It wouldn't work with regular sex because, you know, just hardcore fucking. No.
You're just going to shake the room and knock the candle over and then you both die.
Yeah, but if it's oral sex, I don't know. It could work.
I don't understand what
work.
You're saying.
Yeah, it could work.
Explain how that's different. How a candle is somehow good for oral sex.
Oral sex doesn't. It doesn't have to get to that hardcore, like, fucking cock.
Are you somehow trying to make an argument that oral sex is more romantic than vaginal intercourse? God. Is that what you're saying? You know what? For me,
I am.
I'm with you all the way when it comes to fucking. You're right. It's just animal, just activity, fucking.
Yeah.
But God, a blowjob? I just feel loved. I just feel like that is an intimate moment between me and the love of my life. My soulmate is sucking my dick. There is no closer moment between a man and a woman than a nice blowjob and a candle.
So you're not with me on this one.
No. Okay. I'm not able to follow you down all this right, road.
All right,
no.
All right. That's cool. That's cool.
But that's how I feel about candles.
All right. All right.
Then our buddy Jeff Mazarek, which I know I am pronouncing kind of wrong, says, was this candle bought for the purpose of helping to create a romantic evening? Does that matter? Which I just kind of addressed. Mm-hmm. I do think that matters.
Yeah.
Because like I said, an emergency candle, a nice white candle, unscented, for the purposes of, oh shit, the power went out and Godzilla's outside.
Yeah.
That I understand. And I guess I sort of understand the candle as air freshener business, although I still think you're better off just getting one of those time-released air fresheners or something, because the candle just makes you look like a jerk. But I can understand those. But if it's for a romantic evening, you're just a bad person. And that's it for the Facebook.
All right.
So I think there was some stuff in the forums I kind of wanted to maybe address. Let me take a quick peek. Orion, sing the folks a song while I'm looking at this stuff.
Mm.
You're not going to do it. I'll make love to you like you want me to, and I'll hold you tight, baby, all through the night.
Every time I hear that song, I'm going to be thinking about just pounding asshole.
Do you remember that song? It wasn't Boys to Men, but when you started talking about Boys to Men, the first song that sprung to my mind was song that...
Oh, no.
It's got like a counting in it. Like, one, make you suck a dick with me. Two, make you suck a dick in a tree.
Brian McKnight.
Three, yeah. How did that song go? Do you remember the actual lyrics?
Oh, man.
I used to know because I used to hear it constantly.
Oh. As soon as the first, like, one was said, I'd know the rest.
The only one I remember is one of the numbers was, I think it's four repeat steps, one, two, through three. Yeah. Yep.
Make you fall in love with me.
Make you fall in love with me. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. Fuck the forum. Everything you said in the forum this week, guys, I loved.
Yeah.
Just rest assured in that fact. So now let's move on to the voicemail.
Voicemails.
Okay. We got a couple from Miss Nick this week.
It was a horse. It was a horse that looked like Marilyn Manson, and a different horse had an emo hairdo.
Okay, so when she said something had a Marilyn Manson eye last week, it was a horse. She saw a horse with a Marilyn Manson eye and another horse with an emo hairdo.
No. No.
Wait, it does kind of make me wonder.
It was a whore.
A horse.
Oh, play that again. Why would a horse wear that?
It was a horse. It was a horse that looked like Marilyn Manson. Mm. And a different horse had an emo hairdo.
Okay.
I kind of have the same, I'm pretty sure it's horse, but I kind of have the same question either way, which is, where were you walking that you encountered either a horse or a whore?
Yeah.
Maybe there are a lot more horses in the UK than I realize. Maybe they're just out and about. You're just walking down the street trying to find the hospital and you're like, there's a horse.
They're everywhere.
Just like always.
Come out at night. Yeah.
That's why there are so many black people in the UK. They all migrate there for the horse punching.
Yeah.
So next voicemail.
Oh, and Orion, there was nobody to talk to because I was in the middle of nowhere. There was just emo Marilyn Manson horse and the grass, and it was horrible. Also, I went to the hospital today and they took some blood from me and then I passed out and had a seizure. What's that about?
What is that about?
Jesus Christ.
Miss Nick, are you dying and you're just not telling me? What's going on? That you're getting blood drawn, you got to go to the hospital. I mean, that could be routine
normal,
shit.
Is it? That's not normal.
Getting your blood drawn could potentially be routine shit, I suppose. But then having a seizure afterwards, you can't tell me you went to the hospital, you got blood drawn, you had a seizure, and then be like, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
You know, nothing else happened after that.
Cool.
You know how it is. I got cancer.
Yeah.
No big deal. Let us know what's going on. Are you dying? Yeah. I got to know these things.
Seizures, man.
I got to know if I got to find a new biggest fan.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Oh, come on.
That's fucking horrible.
Oh, I love Miss Nick. She's the best. Now, she was explaining to you that there was nobody around to ask for directions. Because last week you were like,
what kind of
what is wrong with you? Why don't you just ask somebody?
Where the fuck are you? Where it's the middle of nowhere and there's horses.
Let me tell you how many people I see on my walk to work.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Okay.
There's nobody for me to ask for directions. If I was lost on the way to work, there's nobody for me to go, hey, you over there, how do I get to work?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Where are you picturing that she's walking? Do you picture the
buildings
whole,
are.
Do you picture the whole of UK as being a small village with people out sweeping sidewalks in front of their business?
Yes, I admit it. Yes.
Somebody out there with a nice wicker straw broom just sweeping the sidewalk wearing an
Pardon
apron.
Me, sir. Yes. Oh, hello. You know, everywhere. There'd be like 10 guys going, yes.
Everybody's either an old man or an old lady with bifocals. That's everybody there. It's them and Miss Nick.
Carriages.
Yeah. That would explain the horse. Maybe you're not far off.
But yeah, buildings, you know, like go to a building and there's probably a person in there.
Is that what you would do if you were walking?
If I was that lost.
Well, I think she was. Was she walking?
I think
she was actually not walking.
She was driving.
But yeah. If you were driving around and you were lost, like I could see stopping at like a gas station or a convenience store or something and asking for directions. But if there are none of those around, would you stop at like an office building and be like, I don't know what the fuck it is you do, like insurance claims adjustment or something, but how do I get to such and such place? Is that what you would do? Because that's not what I would
ultimately
do.
Had to, yes. I would go to an office building before I go to somebody's house. But if I had to, I'd go to their house. Fuck.
Mm.
Fuck yeah. Hey, sorry to bother you, but I need some help. You know, just show me where to go.
You're a braver man than I.
Yeah.
I would probably just go back the way I came.
Like Life the Video Game. I'd win every time. Whereas Kyle would be like, dude, I cannot beat this game. What are you doing wrong? You couldn't get past the first level? All you had to do was go and ask somebody at their house. Oh, shit!
Ask the Goombas how to get to the end of the level. It's so easy. I don't even know how you... Well, I kept stomping on them. That's what you're doing wrong.
God, where the fuck was she? Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the next voicemail, which was from, I think, our buddy Poopy Barfy.
Hi, Kyle and Orion. This is your newest listener, Poopy Barfy. I just wanted to call in. The reason why I'm always laughing is because you're happy is because you guys just, you know, voicemail message is so funny. Anyway, I realize I've called in a couple times and I've never actually asked a question or anything. So seeing how race is a constant issue or a topic on your guys' podcast, I was curious, do you guys think having black friends makes you a better person? My dad thinks that if you have black friends, that means that you're a better person than if you have only white friends. So what do you guys think? Is my dad crazy? why don't you guys talk about that? Okay, bye.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the compliment on our voicemail.
Yes, it is funny.
Message. Yes, yes. You're a very nice boy, clown boy. I do picture him in a clown
Every
suit.
Every time I hear him talk, I want to laugh with him, like, because he's, like, on the verge. Like,
He sounds like he would either be a lot of fun, because, you know,
hey guys,
there's a certain point, like, if somebody's laughing, it's difficult to be angry.
Yeah.
Unless they're laughing at something horrible that just happened to you, maybe. Yeah. But, so, I imagine he's either a great person to hang around, or just the worst person to hang around.
The worst.
Because it just never stops.
Yeah,
but
that would,
but I do picture him in like clown makeup now. I can't help it. Like, and I could imagine like
a payphone,
just a horrible clown who never gets hired for birthday parties named Poopy the Clown.
Yeah.
Or like, he's got like two clown names and one clown name. Yep. I could picture Barfy the Clown or Poopy the Clown. He's Poopy Barfy. He's double the clown.
Yep.
Anyway, race. Is it, does it make you a better person to have a black friend? Orion?
Yes.
Take it away.
Yes.
You're the authority on race relations.
In the aspect of credibility. So when you, like the more different types of people you've interacted with, it builds on your credibility when you can talk about certain things. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I always put has black friends on my resume.
Yeah, yeah. This guy knows some people, you know, he knows a little bit more about the world and its people than a guy with just white friends, yeah. But just in that aspect, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it makes you a better person.
But in general, no.
The only way I think it makes you a better person is if, like, the option is there. to have black friends and you specifically go out of your way to not have black friends, then I suppose the guy who has black friends is a better person. Yeah. But no, I mean, obviously it doesn't make you a better person to have black friends. For the most part, it's incidental. You know, I happen to meet a black guy I liked, so I have black friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You over there, you don't have any black friends. Turns out you haven't met any that you clicked with. You know, it's, yeah. For the most part, it's just who you happen to be introduced to or hang around with or whatever.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, there's nothing really inherent about a black person that like you just said, like the more people,
okay,
you
okay,
know, no, I'm not trying to tear down what you were saying. There is some truth to it, but there's nothing inherent about knowing a black person that like makes you more knowledgeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aside from being more knowledgeable about that person.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. Oh, I know a black person. So it's like that scene in, I think it's the movie Airplane where like somebody's trying to talk to a, it's been a long time since I've seen it. Somebody's trying to talk to a black guy and this old white lady comes up and she says, I speak jive. And she like translates. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
When you're like, you know, I have black friends, so I kind of know how things are, you know, I know what it's like with the baby mama drama and,
yeah,
you know, a crack dealer on every corner. I know what your struggle
hard
is like.
Hard times. Yeah.
And meanwhile, the person you're talking to is like, I grew up in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I don't, I speak,
hey, you, I know what it's like. It's
I speak better English bitch than you do. Like, yeah, what are you talking about? I'm wearing a sweater vest. But yeah, so no, of course, obviously. I think that's like, I have a feeling he already knows the answer to this question.
Yeah.
I was just curious what we would say about it. But no, obviously not. Having black friends does not make you a better person. It makes you a worse person because you associate with criminals. That was a joke, folks.
That's a joke.
Them's the jokes. If you're a new listener, that's how they go. I say something absurd, and that's the joke.
It's a partial truth.
Nice. You saved my joke.
Yeah.
So next voicemail, I guess.
Yeah,
I think we
yeah
covered. Jesus, we've talked so much about how terrible black people are. I think we've got race covered.
Hey, Orion, you mentioned that you had found some awesome new powers and abilities that you could find a good use for. And I'll just remind you, though, that with great power comes great responsibility.
Now, do you know what he's talking about? Because I actually had to go back and listen to the episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
And remember, it was a pretty long episode. He's talking about when you were talking about your sudden ability to control your shits.
Oh, yeah.
Your new superpower.
Okay, yeah. Jesus, I forgot I called that a superpower, yeah.
And he's right, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
You can't just go around having a good old time with these shit powers, like Spider-Man swinging around from rooftop to rooftop, just joyriding.
Yeah.
You got to use these powers to fight evil.
Hmm. But it's like, scrapping all that, you know, art prize and shitting on the canvas and all that shit, and focusing more on the pleasurable, you know, like sitting on your dick, Kyle, and jacking you off without moving.
Right.
How would you fight evil with that? I don't know. You can't die by pleasure.
Here's what you do. You get yourself somehow smuggled into some of these third world countries that are run by evil dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And you start sitting on those dicks.
Okay.
And you cheer them up.
Yeah.
Okay. This
okay.
This ass job you're giving people. Because
yeah,
it's not just a butt fucking.
Yeah.
Because the way you described it, you sit down and that thing just like does its own thing. Like it's going in and out. So this ass job is such a miracle to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing they've ever felt. They don't have time to go out and oppress the people or to make horrible legislation. And they're in all kinds of good moods all the time. They're just going to be walking around their palace with you on their dick. And they're going to be like, you know what? You see that solid gold pillar holding the room up? Carve a chunk out of that. Give that to the people. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
Orion's on my dick. That's great.
I would have never thought of that.
The only problem is you can only really, you can obviously only do one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're loving it so much, they're walking around with you on their dick.
How do you get
to the next guy?
They would go to war over my powers. Yeah.
You have to kill him.
Yeah.
You have to overthrow the government. You have to keep him satisfied long enough.
Yep.
And then when things start really going good, going in the right direction, you slit his throat.
Yep.
And then you move on to the next
dictator.
Distract
him with the feeling of like 10 little baby hands stroking your dick in my anus. Yes.
That's an odd analogy to make.
Little baby hands? Well, not like
baby hands.
Baby hands. You know, like,
ah, that glorious, we've all imagined it, that glorious feeling of being jerked off by 10 babies. You know what I'm talking about, right, folks? Maybe you're right about these thoughts in your head being sick.
I'm just trying to give proportion to the, you know, the size of the hands, you know.
No, I get it.
You know, age has nothing to do with it.
Age is just a number. Yeah, I have my son jerk me off. Whatever. It's a family thing.
Progeria hands. I don't know.
Progeria hands. Oh, God. Tiny old people hands. It's just all veins and bones.
Okay. Ugh, bad example.
Just veins and bones bad and example. Skin. It'd be like being jerked off with a laundry or a lawn refuse bag, like a bag full of leaves.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm backing out of that one. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's it for the Facebooks, the Twitters, and the voicemails. So if you do you have anything, you know, that you had in your notebook, you got your notebook out. Yep. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, I think oh, we've, man.
I always feel kind of bad when we get to the end of the episode and I do this. I'm like, is there anything you want to talk about? I know you had stuff in there. It's quite possible it's you bad. Were like, this is just backup stuff.
It is.
In case we always. Run out of things.
Yep.
But I worry that we get to this point and I sound like I'm ready to wrap up the show and you're like, I don't want to ruin it with these things yes. if they don't go over
I'm a pretty good
well.
Judge of that too by
okay.
now.
Okay.
By now, I know when it will ruin a show. I just know it.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I tend to run the show
yeah.
and I feel weird because a lot of times you don't get a chance to say these things and I don't know if it's just because you're not, you think, honestly, it wouldn't be that good or if it's like, I had this thing, but I never got a chance to throw it out there and so it never gets thrown out there. I mean, you must have, because yeah. this happens so many times, you must have pages and pages
do,
of stuff we've never
Look
talked
at these
about.
Fucking pages in this notebook. But
we should have an Orion episode where we just go through
know.
All the unused shit in that notebook.
That.
Just one after another. It'd be crazy.
Ask any fucking listener when it comes to me. They're like, I just know. They're like, oh, fuck. Where's my mouse? I'm going to skip ahead. You know, just clicking, yeah. skipping ahead.
I don't think
because it never.
I don't think that happens.
It's never that great.
I don't. Usually it's great because it completely catches me off guard because it's like, you were sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
Taking a dump mm-hmm. and you're like, I don't have to pee right now. So for some reason I flipped my dick up out of the toilet and I was looking at my dick and I was thinking, what if my dick was a person? Like it had its own thoughts and it could speak to me. Like that's the kind of stuff you yeah, end up yeah. coming out with. And I'm always just like, okay, I can run with this, but really? That's yeah. what you were doing today?
Looking at my dick and I'm like, this is what my dad's dick looks like.
Yes, yes, exactly. Right? It always catches me off yeah. guard. So it's usually great. But if you're ready to end the show, I'm ready to end the show.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in that case, as usual, you can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
Or you can email me at orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
And of course, you can leave us a voicemail. I wanted to say you can voicemail us, which I think would technically
That's
be appropriate, but nobody says that.
That
you
lingo.
Can voicemail us. Nobody. I don't know why nobody says that. Nobody says send me an email. They say email me.
I texted you. That's not a word.
Yeah.
I hate that.
But you can leave us a voicemail at 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
And you can check us out on the forums. I just had a terrible thought.com/forum. And there's the Facebook and the Twitter, facebook.com/idchat and twitter.com/idchat. And you can donate. And it's Orion's birthday month.
Yeah.
So send him some fresh cheddar.
Yeah.
That's what the kids are saying these days, right?
I believe
fresh
so. Fresh yeah.
cheddar. That's, I think I heard Paul say that. Because he's a fresh guy.
He's up with the times, man.
He's such a fresh guy.
He speaks jive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bringing it all around. Okay.
I love Paul to death.
All yeah, right. He's great. Orion's birthday month.
Yes.
Send him a little love. And that's it.
That should do it. Thanks for listening, guys. We will check you next week.
Word!